become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Salesmen were pushy. Oh, a fellow checker, eh?
To Entertainment Landfill, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Yes. First of all, you're copying me from when I said I had a plan.
No, I'm not. People say that all the time. It's not that unique of a thing to say.
Secondly, I don't even believe you have a plan.
I have part of a plan.
What percentage of a plan do you have?
You don't get to ask questions after the nonsense you pulled on Nowhere.
I just saved Quill.
We've already established that you destroying the ship that I'm on is not saving me.
When did we establish?
Like 3 seconds ago.
I wasn't listening. I was thinking of something else.
Oh.
She's right. You don't get an opinion. What percentage?
I don't know. 12%.
12%?
That's a fake laugh.
It's real.
Totally fake.
That is the most real, authentic, hysterical laugh of my entire life, because that is not a plan.
It's barely a concept.
You're taking their side?
I am Groot.
So what? It's better than 11%. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Thank you, Groot. Thank you. See? Groot's the only one of you who has a clue.
Shaped like a worm, and these ninjas carry salmonella germs. Scientifically accurate ninja turtles. Scientifically accurate ninja turtles.
Splinter taught them to be ninja teens. He's a radical rat.
But they all have plague, cause rats are vectors of disease.
That's a fact, Jack.
They live 100 years too old. So teenage turtles have the mind of a 7-year-old.
Scientifically accurate ninja turtles. Scientifically accurate ninja turtles.
Some cool pogs. Elf pogs. Remember Elf? He's back in pog form.
Yeah! Woohoo! Elf is back in pog form. Hell yeah! Hey, everybody! Hey!
Hello?
Hey! Hey, everyone! It's time for Entertainment Latinville, the show that's all about film, television, pop culture, and other stuff. Sometimes we talk video games. Sometimes we talk about fine literature or wine and cheese and stuff like that. But today we're talking about film, television, pop culture, and I am the J Strom. Hey, everyone. Ha ha. Okay, I'm good. Steven is not here, so. Hey, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian! Hey!
Hello! Hi!
Hey, y'all! Hey, Bill. It's so cool. You were just here in my house, but now you're in another state.
Yes, I was on your couch having baby lick me while you hid your eyes.
I just have that thing. She licks all over, like, Emma or Steven, too, and I'm just like, oh, God.
Will you stop it? It's distracting.
I always tell Emma, go wash your face.
Yeah, I never washed my face.
She has, like, allergies and stuff, so it's good she just washes it. But it's crazy. It's just you and me, I guess. There's no Steven today. It's kind of sad. I was hoping we could all talk about your visit here, but he's gone. He's just not going to be on the show. It's really sad. Waiting for him to put on his headset. Oh, Steven! Hey, everybody, it's Steven the Pop Culture Zealot! Hey, Steven, how's it going?
Good.
It's good to see you, Seth.
Very bad traffic tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's that construction. Yep, yep. You saw it.
Hey, Steven. Okay, but Steven, I was just talking to Bill about his visit here to Texas.
Yes.
You know what's funny is before you got here, Bill, I was like, we're going to do this and this and this and this.
Oh, huge plans.
And it was like, holy shit, you got to go back? What the hell? We did a lot of stuff we planned, but we also didn't do a lot of things.
Yeah, but we played it by ear. We ended up stopping at a couple places that we hadn't planned and had a good time.
Now, did you have fun?
Oh, my God. I had such a good time. I was so depressed tonight. I was packing. I was like, oh, just a couple more days.
Yeah, what's funny is we actually, I guess it's an annual thing now when you come to visit. We went to Tornado Terry's.
Yes, that was the last full day, Monday.
Yeah, we played some old arcade action, which is fun. Emma has a great time there. We also saw a film called Guardians of the Galaxy.
Trace Times.
Yeah, that we will talk about later on the show. We did see it 3 times. And it's funny, there's a funny story about that is the reason we saw it on Thursday before Friday, the release date, is because we found a theater about 30 minutes away that had Dolby Atmos. So we're like, oh, we got to sample that shit, right, Bill?
I mean, come on. It's Dolby Atmos. It's going to be loud and exciting and bright.
Yeah, it was only 30 minutes away. So we did drive out there and, you know, we walked in the theater and it was like, hey, this is pretty cool. Love the seating. the screen size is awesome. Can't wait. And then the movie start. First of all, the Dolby Atmos demo was pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was sweet. It had like the little helicopter seed thing swirling around the theater, and you could hear it above you and behind you. It was very neat.
Yeah, there's like, it was like nighttime in a forest, like forest sounds and stuff.
Yeah, good thing it was nighttime because it was so dark.
That's the thing. The projection in that theater was so dim that if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy at the very beginning of the movie, when Chris Pratt's character,
Peter Quill
jumps over a little chasm, there's these man-eating, like, things down there going, "Row!" Their heads are coming up. I swear I didn't see that the first time we saw
no,
it.
No, neither did I. I knew there was something going on down there, but we couldn't see it.
The screen was so dim, you couldn't see what was down there. So
like,
then
is it a bottomless pit?
Yeah, so when we saw it the next night, I was like, oh, cool, that's what's in there. So basically what we figured out is, like, okay, you know, we didn't say anything to each other, though, Belle. We just enjoyed the movie, and then it was over. It was just kind of like, it was kind of dim, wasn't it? It's like, yeah, it really was. But, hey, the movie was awesome. So then when we went and saw it at my regular theater, XD, we're sitting there, and we realized, holy shit, there are speakers on the ceiling. Like, they have, like, the Atmos set up in the theater.
Their own version of Atmos.
Yeah, it doesn't say Atmos anywhere. And sure enough, the trailers come on, and I'm like, dude, the sound is better here than at that place we were
last
night.
Yeah, it had more punch. There was more bass.
Yeah, your seats were shaking and stuff. And that Interstellar trailer, like, it was like, and then the silence. And then that's the way that trailer is. It's real loud and then cut to silence. It was awesome. So
yeah, it was really great.
Then the movie started up, and it was bright, crisp, 3D detail, and I was like, oh, thank goodness.
that was much more like it.
I'll never doubt you, XD, again.
I'm sorry, Cinemark, for turning my back on you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I was like, you know what? Hey, we were going to go see the movie another time anyway. What's the big deal? And we'll just pretend like this is the first time.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun.
So, that was. And, that was the first night that we saw it with Steven, because I had arrived Thursday morning.
Right.
I was still slaving away working.
and then on Friday, you were still slaving away sleeping.
And then Steven and I saw it on Friday. And then on Sunday, I saw it with you guys again, and then my wife, child, and her parents. So it was like a full row, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was the family affair, as Heather said.
And it was cool after seeing it twice and then that third time, hearing the rest of the family laugh at the same parts and everything and enjoying it. It was cool. It's almost like we have ownership of the movie. It's like, hey, are you enjoying our movie?
One of the best things about seeing it on Sunday was hearing not only the family's reaction, but the audience's reaction, because it was so packed that Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad you were here for us to experience that. It was awesome that we got to see a wonderful movie together. We didn't see
Yeah, I was really hoping it would be good, and it didn't disappoint.
It wasn't some bad movie. It was like, eh.
But the it could have been Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That would have been a huge disappointment.
Well, yeah. we'll talk about that later. I'm excited to hear what you think about that, Bill. There's no way it can top the Steve Barron Ninja Turtles. Am I right?
Nowhere near.
Okay.
And I thought insurance salesmen were pushy.
Yeah.
those were like Orson Welles quality compared to this one.
Yikes. All right.
Oh, a fellow checker, eh?
Did you see that video I sent you? It's mistakes in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on YouTube.
So many.
It was funny how there's parts in the movie where their mouths are open so wide, you can see the little dude's head in there. You can see the stunt guy's eyes. And once you notice it, it's like, whoa, that's freaky. You can see eyes in his mouth. It's hilarious.
Man in that turtle.
And one of them is...
I have to look at that. I didn't see that.
Oh, God, I got to show it to you. There's one where it's like prop guy behind the table. And you see a guy, he's got a ball cap on. He's hunched over so you can't see him. And he's in the shot. He's in the movie. Like, he's like guiding wires or something. And he's in the movie. It's hilarious.
No, that was a Ted Danson stand-in with a baseball cap.
God, that was so funny, man.
It's a ghost.
Yeah. But Sam Rockwell is also in there, so it's good to see him.
Yeah.
Every time I see that movie, it's on or something, he's like, hey, Sam Rockwell, what the hell?
Hey, awesome. You had to start somewhere.
Yeah, the guy's a genius. So, yeah, we'll talk about Ninja Turtles soon. But, yeah. Bill, we also got to eat at some cool places.
We did. Some really cool places.
We went to a genuine foodie-type place.
Yeah, we were full on foodie mode. We go in. Remember, we park in the parking garage, and as we're going, you're like, should we be wearing ties? Yeah. Like, we'll see.
I was like, what if this is a place where, like, you must have a collar to enter? But
yeah.
It's actually just a nice restaurant. They're not, like, hoity-toity or anything. It's just,
It's casual dining. There's like a, when you go in, there's a nice bar and a million different types of wine and beer.
You can tell they spent a lot of time decorating making it look really nice and, it's just a fancy looking place. And it's called, American Food and Beverage, AF&B Fort Worth. And, the reason I had found out about it is because Tim Love mentioned it on their restaurant startup site. There was a little video where he visited there and he had some of their fresh crab and he was talking about how it was all farm to table. It's all fresh ingredients straight from the farm or wherever. Fish farm. I don't know. wherever they get seafood from.
From the Gulf.
But it's all fresh food. So I was like, oh, we got to try that because, you know, we watch so many of those foodie type shows. But, you know, I when I eat out, I don't eat at a lot of fancy places like that. When I say fancy, what I mean is not a chain.
Like, yeah, a sort of place that you go in and you expect to have salt and pepper on the table. But you go to a place like this and everything comes seasoned as the chef wants it seasoned.
Right. Like we had scotch eggs for the appetizer.
And
I
was like, chorizo scotch eggs.
Yeah, I was like, what is scotch eggs? Because it doesn't sound good, that scotch.
They dipped in liquor?
Yeah, liquor. Like, yeah, we got a jar.
Liquor soaked eggs. Yeah, they're pickled in
scotch. You know, big old jar of scotch, and they drop boiled eggs in it, and they go, here you go. And you're like, oh,
here's mud in your eye.
But that's not what it is at all. It's like a fried soft boiled egg with chorizo sauce on it, I guess.
Yeah, it's a meat coating around the egg and then a crunchy outside and it's deep fried.
Oh man, it was so good though.
Oh yeah. Then when we got it, we were like, oh, so this is like an appetizer for four people. And I had one and a half of them and I was like, dude, you gotta take the other one. The other half. I'm never gonna be able to eat my dinner. For lunch.
As I was eating it, I was like, oh man, you know what this is? This is breakfast. Cause we're eating
It's super creamy from the yolk, and the yolk is like the deepest, darkest orange because it's a true farm egg.
Oh yeah.
And then they had this like really nice, like a pepper, I don't even know what the hell you'd call it because it was like a pickled kind of pepper sauce with the red and yellow rings over top of it.
And literally when I, basically, it was basically two eggs cut in half. So it was four halves, right?
Right.
And did I have three, Bill, and you had one? Is that what it was?
You had two and a half. I had one and a half.
Okay. So yeah, we cut the last one in half, right? And so after that was over, I was like, oh, I guess I'm pretty much done. I'm filled up.
Did we order something else?
Yeah, but it was like, yeah, let's order. And I ordered the steak, the sirloin.
Yeah, we were both looking at this menu, and it's one of those really nice smaller menus. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom corner, it was the fresh, like the daily special. Everything was, you know, fresh in that day. And then they decide what they're going to make. So they had a grass-fed sirloin with fries.
Yeah, they make sure to tell you everything they have there is made in-house. Like, they make their own ketchup, they make their own mustard or mayonnaise or whatever. They make it all their salad dressings. And so I had their house ketchup, and it was awesome.
Oh, my God, it was so tomato-y. You were like, here, you got to try this. You gave me a fry dipped in it. I was just like, oh, Oy, oy, oy.
And the fries were all airy and crunchy and stuff. Oh
yeah, I've never had french fries like that.
I've been, like, just dreaming about it, you know, since then. Man, if I just had some of those right now.
I just had a cup of those french fries.
But it was a lot of fun, and Heather was like, you better take me there. And I was like, okay, I'll take you.
And I had the what was their fresh catch was the grouper.
Yeah.
And it was like a grouper with, pan-fried fingerling potatoes and carrots and a carrot puree underneath it. And it was gorgeous. I took a picture of it and put it on Facebook/Instagram. And I was like, I got to take a picture of this before I eat it. And, it was freaking amazing. It was perfect.
Yeah.
I've never had a meal like that. And we were going, man, that was a memory meal.
Yeah, it was. It's the kind of thing whenever you're hungry, you think back on it.
Stunning.
And,
most amazing.
They had a hamburger on the menu, and I definitely want to get that next time.
Yeah, next time I come down, I'm getting that duck pot pie.
Oh, yeah. And they also had, a fried, fish sandwich that if you look online on their website at that fish sandwich, it looks freaking amazing.
Yeah. And I'm a huge fish guy, since after my surgery. That's like one of the things I can tolerate well. But I think the fish we ended up having at the farmhouse on our way back from Tyler on Saturday, the catfish was pretty damn good. Like, I was very, very impressed with that.
You know, one thing is I always get dragged to Tyler because my wife's family lives there, but we discovered this place called the Farmhouse just off the freeway as we're heading home. And so now it's like, well, if I go to Tyler, we're stopping at the Farmhouse on the way home. And their food is awesome there. Their chicken fried steak, but they have fried catfish, and you got that. And
yeah, that was their special of the day.
I was like, Bill, can I have what you're not going to eat there? And you're like, sure. So I had my chicken fried steak still. I was still eating, but I broke off a piece and I took a bite and I was like, holy shit, you know, like, I'm taking all of this.
Catfish is normally kind of like muddy and nasty tasting, but
It was crispy.
Yeah, it was like really delicate, and they had obviously soaked it in like buttermilk or something because it had that tanginess to it. Yeah, it was really good. And their pie case was awesome. I went over to the pie case with Emma and Camden, and they're like, what's that pie? I was like, well, that's shaved coconut, so that's coconut cream. What's that pie? And I was like, that looks like a brownie pie.
Yeah,
we were having to name that pie.
They got that ridiculous brownie pie that everyone else was too stuffed to eat anything. So not only does the brownie pie, basically a brownie in a pie crust, but there's like three scoops of ice cream on top of it.
It was
like
four scoops on a dinner plate. It was
like
on a freaking dinner plate.
Yeah, and so they're both like eating a few bites and they're like, I'm full. Can you guys eat this? And we're like, no! So this is like a giant thing melting.
They ate the ice cream off the top that was covered in fudge, but they left the pie. I was like, I guess the pie wasn't up to your standards.
I just couldn't eat anymore. It was hilarious. So that was fun. And it was cool because I brought you to Tyler and saw where showed you where I always have to go for family shindigs.
It's really a beautiful area.
Yeah, yeah.
And the drive's not terrible if you're not driving, but if you're driving, it's gotta
suck. I do all the driving. I'm the driver. And that's why I'm probably tired the whole time.
You need a scorpion jacket.
Oh, yeah, I do.
And a pair of gloves that you can wear whenever you're driving to Tyler.
You're right.
I'm the driver.
And what does he always have, a match in his mouth or something?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah, you need that match just in case you need to set a fire.
And then stomp on someone's throat in an elevator or something.
Or their head.
All right, just need
brain all over your shoes.
I just need some nunchucks or something. That would be cool.
Yeah, I had such a great time. It was my vacation. It was 5 days, and you guys were so welcoming, and I got to experience that your at least Heather's family, and we the first day we got there, we went to our annual, what we're going to make annual now, the Skillet and Grill, which is this great divey breakfast place.
I got to take Steven there sometime.
Yeah.
They
and
give
then,
this mountain of hash browns. It's impossible to eat. It's
those
like,
hash
why
browns.
Are you giving me all this? But it's so good, but you can't eat it all. You just have to take it home.
There's one up by the airport somewhere. I keep getting told about it. It's called like the Biscuit, and you get this plate-sized biscuit covered with country gravy.
I like biscuits.
Yeah, and then on, Friday we did the Mexican Inn. Mm-hmm. Or was that, and then,
and of course, I always have to take you to my favorite Campo Verde.
Campo Verde. Was that Sunday or, yeah, that had to be, was it Sunday?
Campo Verde was Sunday morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Sunday lunchtime.
Yeah. And then, Monday was,
you know, like fish tacos there.
Spring Creek Barbecue with Steven.
Yeah. Got you some barbecue. Well, last time you were here, we went to David's Barbecue, and that place was pretty good, too.
Yeah, that was next to the place where Emma had her birthday party with the ceramic
it's
painting and all that.
It's more of a dive-type thing, but it's
those are the best
really
places. I love the dives.
Totally. That's what Skill and Grill is, a total dive, you know? It looks like a dump, but the food is amazing there.
The worst thing about Spring Creek Barbecue is they yell at you, and it's like, don't yell at me!
They're
I haven't
to be
made my
like,
mind up!
They're like, order up! Or something like real loud, and it's just like, God, could everyone just shut up? Let me
I was
my
like,
food?
I just want ribs! Ribs! Yes,
one rib
just
coming up!
Like, should I not have ordered the ribs?
Like, everyone shut up! I just want to enjoy my food. Yeah, Heather was like, I want to have the sausage and sliced beef plate. Kid sausage plate, here you go. No. I need the sausage and sliced beef plate. And he goes, all right. And he's like, there you go, kid sausage. She goes, no, what I need. And she was like getting so mad. You know, if they would just stop yelling and listen.
Yeah. Get a plate and throw it back at him.
Yeah. No, asshole. Just throw the dishes at him. I'm sorry. They make me be loud and obnoxious. It's part of the job, man.
Oh, and I can't forget about the Tortilla Factory.
This is done, man.
The Tortilla Factory we went to on Monday for lunch. That was pretty impressive,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Cardona's. That's where we always eat with Heather when we go visit her for lunch.
It's funny. Whenever I got back here to Ohio, I think it was yesterday, I was picking up a prescription for my dad, and there's this Mexican restaurant in that plaza. So I was like, you know what? I need to try to replicate my Mexican adventures in Texas. So I went there, and I was like, this place sucks. Like, it's just like, it's nothing's properly seasoned. I think they know how to make Tex-Mex in Texas. Ohio, not so much.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do without real Tex-Mex kind of stuff.
Dude. You wouldn't be able to survive here. You would go insane.
Is California that good, Stephen?
No, I went
it's
to
just
this one
different.
In this little place, this little town I was in. And they're like, oh, this is really good. Let's go here. I'm like, all right. Nah.
Horrible.
It wasn't horrible.
That's weird.
It just wasn't,
it's just not what you expect.
Yeah. You guys have the market cornered on Tex-Mex.
Oh, nice. Well, Bill, can't wait till you come back. We'll eat some more. Woohoo!
Yeah, I was already looking at IMDb to see what the next movie was that we could plan, even just a weekend.
I was like,
you know,
episode
just to get
seven
back down there.
Or what?
Yeah,
episode
I think,
7 is around Christmas time, though, isn't it? That might be harder to shake.
We'll probably have to do March of next year because that's Fury Road.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll do, like, I was thinking maybe this time, I don't know, we'll have to talk to Steve Areno.
We haven't done a show since then, Bill. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
We'll have to talk to Steven to see if he has any points at, like, an extended stay, because I'd love to stay 7 days instead of 5 next time. Just to fit everything in.
Well, okay, so Comic-Con happened, and we didn't go again, of course, but, you know, usually there's stuff that, everything that happens at Comic-Con comes out online anyway, so you're really there just for the going to Hall H and watching the presentations that they put on YouTube anyway.
And standing in line for 24 hours.
Right, so really, I guess it's just the experience, but you can experience it all online anyway. So, this Mad Max thing comes out, and Drew McWeeny writes about it, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm so jealous. I want to see that footage. Sure enough, the next day, a trailer comes out. And, you know, think about it like this. When did Beyond Thunderdome come out? Like 1986 or something, or 87? I can't remember.
Around there.
Probably, yeah. I know I'm probably wrong, so I'm going to look at IMDb while I'm talking. But, okay, think about
85.
This. 85. Okay, 85. That's a long freaking time ago. And for years, we've heard about another Mad Max, right? For years. Mel Gibson maybe do another one. But that never happened. And we've been reading about Fury Road for, am I going to say 10 years? something like that.
Yeah, it was like delayed, and then it wasn't delayed, and then it was delayed again.
And it was just like, okay, forget it. It's never going to happen. So finally, like, I don't know, 2 years ago, they say that, yes, it's going to be made with Tom Hardy as Max. And I remember my reaction was just okay, whatever. I just didn't care anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Like, The Road Warrior Mad Max 2 is one of my favorite movies of all time. When I went and saw it with my dad in California, it was, my parents were divorced. I lived here in Texas, and I would never be able to see a rated R movie like The Road Warrior with my mom or anything. She just wasn't going to take me or anything like that. So, this is actually the same summer my mom passed away, which is kind of sad, but that was a little bit later on. So when we first get to California, you know, my dad was trying to think of something for father and son to do. We haven't seen each other in a long time. And he goes, I read about this movie called The Road Warrior. It's supposed to be incredible. We could go see it in Westwood, where the big theaters are.
Ooh.
So my dad takes me to see this rated R movie, which, by the way, I wanted to see because when I saw the trailer, there's a part where Max has a sawed-off shotgun, and he opens it up, looks at it, and closes it again. And I was like, oh, man, that's cool. Oh, what kind of gun is that? You know, I was just all excited. So my dad takes me to see that. And, of course, the loud sound and everything, it was just incredible. It warped my mind where I was like, oh, my God, that was like the greatest movie I've ever seen. Because it's really the first time you see the movie, it's like hair-raising, edge of your seat. You're frightened because you don't know what the hell could happen in the movie. You know, it's just insane, this kind of strange post-apocalyptic world. So I was obsessed with it and naturally watched it a million times on cable, later on VHS, you know, wore out that VHS. And it was funny when, I don't know if you guys are the same way, but when you first saw The Road Warrior, did you have any idea that there was a movie called Mad Max? Because I didn't.
No clue.
I didn't know there was a first one. And I remember when I first saw the first movie, it was kind of like, oh, wow, this is before The Road Warrior. And it's kind of like, oh, okay, why do their voices sound that way? Because it was dubbed, and it was funny, but it still had some badass stuff, and it had Max's badass V8 interceptor in it. You see the birth of that, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And so, okay, cut to now. This trailer comes out, and there's Max, who's Tom Hardy. It's kind of Max. It's a different guy playing him. I have nothing against Tom Hardy, especially that movie, The Warrior. Is that what it's called? Where him and Joel Edgerton are brothers and they fight.
Oh, yeah, Warrior.
That's where he won me over. And he barely...
Yeah, that's a really good movie.
He barely says a word in that movie.
Get a lot of that.
And which Max barely says a word, right? He barely talks. So, what is Mad Max doing but standing next to the V8 Interceptor from The Road Warrior? And I'm like, oh, my God, it's the same car. And I was, like, freaking out. So then the trailer starts, Bill, right? And
yes.
He's like, I live in a world of fire or something like that. And the V8 Interceptor gets trashed in the next. I was like, what? They're going to blow it up again? Because in The Road Warrior, that car gets trashed and it gets flipped over, and then Max has a booby trap. You try to steal his fuel, it sets off a bomb that blows it up. So that's a really cool part of the movie, but it's also a really sad part of the movie where you're like,
it's like when Wilson gets lost at sea.
Yes.
And cast away.
And don't forget about what happens to Max's dog. He loses his car and his dog in the same scene, and it's just heartbreaking.
I don't think I'll ever be able to own a blue heeler because I'm just so attached to dog.
Oh, I know. And, you know, he's like, why change your mind, Max? Believe me, I haven't got a choice. You know, he's got nothing left. He might as well drive the rig, right? And that's why I love that part of the movie where he's all banged up. He's got stitches. One of his eyes is sealed shut, you know, and he's going to drive the rig. That's awesome. One of the best climaxes in a movie ever. Am I right? The Road Warrior?
Oh, God, yes.
Just incredible.
Now so, you're talking about it, and I want to watch it.
Oh, I know. I've got that Mad Max thing, that box set
Yeah, in the tin?
I want to watch all three. Start with Mad Max and then go all the way to Thunderdome. I actually, you know,
But only with the new dub.
Yeah, yes, Mad Max.
Wrong,
that's all
Chief,
that, that's all that exists now, I believe. But, you know, Thunderdome is a different story. I really, in my heart of hearts, the age I was when Thunderdome came out, I wanted Road Warrior again. And when I didn't get it, I was like, what the hell is all this shit? Who's this little guy? Who's this big guy giving the little guy a piggyback? And what are all these little kids?
Who's this guy with the dented up saxophone?
Brain broken!
Yeah, who's Tun Tun? What the hell's Tun Tun?
Play something tragic.
Tun Tun, play something tragic. Oh my God, Thunderdome. I've watched a million times on cable and stuff, but every time I watch it, I'm just like,
Yo, Pinyasis, I'm sad.
So anyway, Fury Road looks more like the sequel to The Road Warrior to me, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. The fact that they got to see like a whole, what was it, like anywhere from five to 15 minutes
or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just so freaking jealous. And I was reading that essentially the movie is just one gigantic car chase.
Yes. George Miller has been laying in bed dreaming of this film, the visuals, and it's basically, he storyboarded the whole thing before he scripted it. It's a chase sequence, the entire movie, supposedly. And it's barely got any dialogue because it existed in storyboards before it did in dialogue. So, man, I'm excited about this movie.
There are so many shots in that trailer that just make me giddy, from the guys that are balanced on poles and they use them to swing down and grab people.
Back and forth.
Yeah, the Cirque du Soleil pole things. Yeah. They've got them on the cars.
There's a shot where one of the guys jumps off the back of another thing and it goes into that kind of...
Yeah, he's got two blades and he's like,
I mean, holy shit.
I know. It looks incredible.
And then they drive through a storm, like where there's like sand tornadoes that shit catches on fire.
And George Miller is talking about they tried to do all the stunts practical. They didn't want any CGI shit. You know, he's got to use CGI for some things, which is fine, but he wanted to have real stunts. How many movies do we see now where they don't even have real squibs anymore? It's all CGI squibs. I love that they're doing real stunts, dudes flying through the air and stuff. It makes
cars
me so excited.
Are getting wasted,
real mayhem, you know.
I don't know how there haven't been reports of deaths on the set, because that stuff looks insane.
They're all professionals, eh? Yep. So I'm just, wow, I'm excited. I didn't know I would be this excited.
Yeah, I can't wait till
raunchy,
it comes out.
Very raunchy.
That'll be the movie that I come down for next.
Mad Max Fury Road. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Now, we've got some voicemail, guys. You want to get into this?
Sure.
Now, the first voicemail, Adam, is very Guardians of the Galaxy centric. So let's listen to what he has to say, but then we will talk about it when we talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. Is that okay, guys?
Okay. Yes.
All right, let's check it out. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton dropping off another voicemail. I hope this reaches you in time for your special Guardians of the Galaxy episode for your podcast. And if not, well, I tried. Just couldn't see it last night. But I did see it earlier this afternoon. And clearly, if nothing else, the movie that we've been given is very much the one that Marvel has been selling us, you know, for the greater part of the past year, or at least the past 6 months. It's the closest thing to a comedy out of the Marvel films so far. It has an effective take on the unification of a group or a team of heroes that come together, the ragtag group of people. It embraces the sci-fi aspect just as far as the Thor films took the fantasy aspect of the Marvel films. And it even has a memorable prison escape sequence.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a damn good time overall. and that Bill was able to meet with you so that you could all see it together is fitting, because this movie feels like the perfect film to see with friends. I have no knowledge of the comics that it's based on or the characters prior to seeing the film.
Oh, me
and
either.
I didn't really research it at all, and yet that didn't matter because all five of the Guardians were so well written and acted and even animated that I think newbies can get into this film. Despite the fact that the villain involved wants to commit an act of genocide, doesn't seem to lessen the fun aspects of the movie. It embraces
genocide
the silly
awesome.
And the strange in the same way that even the Hellboy films did. Quite a few people on my Twitter or Facebook threads has seen this, and they are convinced that it's their favorite Marvel film, or it's even the best. And I'm not sure that I can make that jump with them. To me, if Guardians of the Galaxy, if it has a flaw or two, it's with the villains. I think Lee Pace is a great actor who can handle being good or evil with equal memorable skill, and he projects a lot of menace and presence as Ronan the Accuser, or the Accused, I forget which. Maybe I missed something after just my first viewing, but I don't think that his character is that well developed, or there's just not enough time spent on him. I know that Ronan considers the Xandarians, if that's how that name is pronounced, to be his moral enemies, and he wants to kill him with the gauntlet orb or whatever it is. I know he wants to destroy them, but I'm not particularly sure why. I know that the
asshole.
Script keeps reminding me of this, but I don't know. I wish there were some scenes fleshing out his character just a little bit more.
Novelization.
maybe those scenes were shot and didn't make it to the final cut due for pacing reasons or some other minor bullshit reason. And, you know, when you cut out character development for your main villain, to me, you risk... You risk making him uninteresting.
Hey,
and this is something that happened to Thor the Dark World and the Star Trek reboot film. And I wish it would just stop happening. I know the primary focus is on the Guardians, but give the villain his due. I mean, the Michael Rooker character was far more interesting. As for Karen Gillan's Nebula, she looked amazing. And she got less time than Ronan did. One of the things that I was looking forward to for this film was the fight scene between Nebula and Gamora, and I remember Zoe Saldana's tweet with the pic of her and Gillan rehearsing the fight, and I thought, this film is promising so much goodness, and it's also going to give us a sword fight between these two? Awesome! So the fight happens, and it seems to last less than 15 seconds. I guess that's what it felt like, but I just thought, bummer. I was really looking forward to that. But the good news is that neither of these things diminish the entertainment value of the film, but they could have made it a little bit better. I would be able to say that it stands up there with my favorites of the Marvel movie so far, which is... Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and the Avengers, and even Iron Man 3. It has amazing sights and sounds, especially, of course, Star-Lord's awesome mixtapes. I remember Drew McWeeny on a podcast. I don't remember which one. It's not the one that he makes. He was on a podcast earlier this year.
He has a podcast?
He said something to the effect of that the film was promoting... the film was selling these images and these ideas that were so strange, comparable to the other Marvel films, that it felt like a gamble on the Marvel Studios part. And if the film didn't work, if it wasn't good enough, it wouldn't affect the rest of the Marvel Phase films because its events are so far removed from everything else. Now that it's clearly going to be successful... In future films, maybe not just Guardians of the Galaxy, but maybe the other films, they really have no choice now but to go weirder. They have to go full tilt bozo. I love that.
Who's
good luck to them. from now on.
Bozo. I like that.
Other than that, gentlemen, enjoy your weekend together, and good luck, as always, on the podcast. And
thank you, Seth.
If you're recording today, I hope to see you in the chat room.
We're
if not, I can't wait to hear it when you release it in your feed. Have a good afternoon, weekend, and I will speak to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Adam. And Adam's sitting next to an old-time school projector during that.
He's watching 16mm films with Barry Rolls.
No, Adam, the reason he said that is because when you were here, Bill, I was like, we're going to do a special Guardians of the Galaxy show where we just talk about the movie. And then while you were here, it was like, we don't have time to sit down and record anything.
Yeah, we just like 12 hours of daylight that we had went so fast that we honestly had no time to record anything.
Right. And it's better to do it in a regular show anyway. But I will say this, because I remember a lot of people talking about how Guardians of the Galaxy was a gamble and stuff. But I remember watching that first trailer, and it was so well done. I was hook, line, and sinker right then. Remember that first trailer? It was
absolutely.
It was a perfect trailer.
I was hooked on a feeling.
Yes, hooked on a feeling. It was perfect. It gave me chills. It released endorphins into my bloodstream. It was awesome. So then when I saw the film, yeah, I was ready to go, you know? I was like, show me this shit right now. And I never once had that, what if it's bad?
No, because I never had that thought in my head. I honestly trusted James Gunn. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the biggest filmography, but
yeah,
he's a fun filmmaker. Every one of his films that he has made, I have enjoyed. They're weird, but they have a certain enthusiasm about them, whether it's Slither or Super,
right,
which are the two that he's most well known for.
Yeah, I honestly didn't. I don't know a lot about James Gunn, but that trailer sold me. And we're going to talk about that more soon. But first, we have another voicemail, guys. This one from Rick. Rick from Australia. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. It's Rick again. So, my last voicemail. Jesus Christ, I was drunk. That was... It's very strange to listen to when I was sober.
That's
because,
shocking to hear that, really.
You know, when you're drunk, you don't exactly remember what you're doing, and hearing that again was kind of strange. I thought it was a pretty coherent voicemail, but listening back, I thought, holy shit, this guy is drunk, and he doesn't know what he's saying. Anyway, I hope you guys had a great meet-up, and you had lots of fun. I saw it on Facebook and stuff. Seemed like there was just lots of love just floating around and stuff. And Guardians of the Galaxy, I haven't seen it yet, but I want to hear you guys' take on it. And you saw it three times. It must be good. You guys have never let me down before, so I'm going to have to go check it out. And just wanted to say I love you guys and have a great show. Whenever it is, I'll be listening. Kisses.
Oh, well,
I had a few cocktails.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Rick. And thank you guys, Adam and Rick. So what do you guys say we talk about entertainment and we can talk about Guardians of the Galaxy finally?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Entertainment! Woohoo! Yes. Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy, guys. Pretty cool, huh? I'm excited to talk about it. And first of all, I'll say this awesome soundtrack. Am I right?
So good. Very fun. Yes.
You know what's funny? That opening moment, we're so used to seeing sci-fi films or like a space movie. You're ready for a Star Wars type ending. I mean, type beginning opening. But instead we get this, really sad moment from childhood. But then we get the Marvel opening credits and it's building and then cut to that song Redbone, Bill. That band Redbone doing that song, Come and Get Your Love.
Yes.
To Guardians of the Galaxy. It was like perfect, wasn't it?
He puts his headphones on, starts it up, and you get that. And then as he, you get this wide shot and you see him dancing, Peter Quill dancing, and then you just get the whole screen filled with Guardians of the Galaxy and you're like, okay, what am I about to experience?
Right. The main character's dancing and everything, and you get that, you know, we've seen it so many times in the trailer, we're like, you may know me as Star-Lord. Who? But we finally get to see the scene play out, like right. What happens and everything, which is cool. You know, I had no idea. I figured Jaimin Huntsu arrests him. He's some kind of space cop and he goes to prison. But no, boy, was I wrong. I had no idea.
Yeah,
but
he makes the perfect Indiana Jones type escape.
Yes. And that whole sequence was kind of Indiana Jones-ish, wasn't it?
Yeah, very Raiders of the Lost Ark opening.
And I like he uses that that weird magnet thing to suck the guys down.
But in the perfect kind of James Gunn method, you have this horribly bleak, strange, post-apocalyptic environment, and yet you've got this poppy, wonderful song, and the way he interacts with the environment around him, all these rats.
He's singing into a rat like it's a microphone.
Yeah, he grabs a rat and starts singing in it.
Awesome.
And it's just the joyfulness of it. It was infectious.
That would be the best way to describe the whole film, is pure joy.
Yeah.
I think. It's just so much fun. You're having a good time. You know, that very beginning moment where the main character is a little boy, and she's, you know, on her deathbed basically, was like, mother. Holy shit, this is some heavy stuff right at the beginning of the movie. But it was a really good setup, how it's like grounded in reality, then all of a sudden, boom, years later, and it's in space in another world. And it was really cool how it set that up.
Yeah, and the fact that they used I'm Not in Love, and that's one of those songs that you kind of take as a typical kind of 70s love song, but the entire last part of that song is a woman saying, big boys don't cry, big boys don't cry.
Right.
So
right.
It tonally, it matches that moment perfect.
That song always reminds me of MJ Designs, because yeah. We'd listen to the same, like, easy listening station.
Right.
And that song was always on, like, every day, you know?
Wow.
But that's,
I don't know if I would have been able to handle that.
But I always wonder, what is she talking about? Why do big boys don't cry? What is this song about?
It has a deeper meaning, and now we know.
I'm sitting there pricing frames going, what the hell is this song about?
Why am I not supposed to cry? Tell me!
But, how can we not mention, like, how doesn't everyone just, you immediately love Groot and Rocket?
Yeah,
don't drink out of fountains.
What do you mean? Don't lie. I saw you.
And then he cuts to him again. And he's like, drink it out of it again. It's hilarious. I love it.
I am Groot.
I love Groot so much. And Rocket, of course. You know, except for
there's the great scene of us kind of introducing them as this ragtag group, and they're all fighting one another because they're going after the bounty that Yondu put on Peter Quill's head
right.
to get the orb back.
Yeah. And, you know, what Adam was saying about Ronan, I'll admit this much about Thor, the Dark World. That elf guy, I had no idea what the hell his deal was, okay?
Yeah.
He wasn't much of a character. He's just a bad guy after the ether, the red infinity gem, apparently. Ronan, I had more of a thing on him. He's some kind of old school religious zealot who's in power. He's pissed that his planet has signed a truce with Xandar, and he's not going to have any of it. He's going to ignore it, and he's gone rogue, basically. He wants to destroy that planet. Now, he's a lackey now for Thanos, right? He's like working for Thanos. Thanos has sent him his two daughters to help him. He's supposed to get this infinity gem and give it to him. But instead, you know, what he knows the whole time, what he's in exchange for Thanos destroying Xandar, right? But soon as he has that gem, he's like, you know what? I'm keeping this shit and I'm destroying Xandar, and then I'm going to come and kick your ass when I'm done, Thanos. Cause you know, I love how he keeps calling him boy and it's like pissing him off. By the way, Josh Brolin does the voice of Thanos, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was very appropriate. Perfect voice for it.
I just think it's funny that he sits in space, like...
Yes, on a gigantic, like stone throne.
Yeah, it's like, dude, do you go anywhere? Belt. He's some kind of, like, he's a very powerful being, right?
Right.
Does he need to eat food or anything, or is he just chilling on a throne in space?
He's probably above that.
Yeah.
If he's
is he very close
immortal
to it?
Or whatever, then maybe he doesn't have to. Or he's got, like, all the people he's enslaved over here bring him stuff. He doesn't have to.
I mean, he's a deity. Like, does Gamora go, here's your takeout. I got it from.
Here's some Chinese.
Here's some, here's your Thai food you
here's
ordered.
Here's your Xandarian burritos.
So Ronan, I didn't mind him. I thought he was a pretty good bad guy. You know, you hate him, right?
Yeah, he was easy to hate. And I think that if there was a scene kind of expanding on how evil he was tonally, I think it would have shifted the film away from what it was. We get a sense of how evil he is from the scene where he has that Xandarian in like that ancient kind of headlock thing.
He smashes his head in with his power hammer thing.
Yeah, and uses the Xandarian's blood to like coat a symbol, and he's just, I mean, the guy is obviously twisted beyond, you know, acceptability.
Oh, sorry. That's a Rocket's fake laugh.
It's real!
Love that. Well, so when they bring all the characters together, I love them all. They're all yelling at each other. And then, of course, Groot and Peter. You know, Peter's like, you already told me that. You know, he goes, he doesn't have the same vocabulistics as we do. I love that. But the whole prison scene is awesome, how it introduces Drax. And he doesn't understand metaphors.
Drax, the lovable idiot.
Yes. He's, by the way, Dave Bautista, he's a wrestler guy. He's fantastic in the film.
How amazing is he? I mean, just to capture the whole feeling of, like, the rage and he makes that vocabulary, that language, like the higher, you know, they at one point call him a thesaurus. He makes it work. You
Do
believe
not ever
him
call
every
me
moment.
Thesaurus. It's just a figure of speech. He doesn't give figure of speeches. They're literal, you know. It's like, it's a metaphor. He goes, it's over your head. Nothing's over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it. I love that. He says to Gamora, like, spare me your foul gaze, woman. Like, that's the way he talks. It's hilarious.
Yes, even whenever, near the end of the film, whenever he's finally accepted that, there's a great scene after, he calls down Ronan and tries to take him on one by one and finally figures out that all his rage and all his anger was just covering up the loss of his family. Mm-hmm. And he's thanking them for being his friend again.
Right.
And he says, even this, you know, even this green whore. And it's just like, wow.
He's like, really? You dumb tree, you are my friend.
Yes. And Groot knows what he means. He knows he doesn't mean it to be insulting.
Right.
But Groot kind of nods at him like, I get it. I get what you're putting down.
You, Peter Quill, you were my friend. Hey, thanks, man. And you, green whore. But I also love there's little subtle parts that, like with Rocket, they're very tragic. Like when they come out of the showers at the prison, it's funny. You see him all wet, and then he turns around, and you see these horrible, like, implants in his back.
Yeah, you get
like,
that he's an experiment.
Yeah,
that he had no control over his fate.
Right. He just, somebody
experimented
created
on
him,
him
and against his will, essentially. And I assume he's the only one of his kind, and that's sad, you know?
Yeah.
But he found Groot, so they're good buddies. I always liked when there were scenes like when Groot would pick him up and run with him to protect him and stuff. It was good seeing that.
I like the prison scene where he's on his back riding him and he's got the gun blasting away, you know?
How great
was
that?
Yes, he gets tossed. Drax tosses him the gun. He cocks it and that.
I forget what he says. Here, furry beast or something.
Yeah.
But I love when he goes, oh, yeah.
With and I love that he uses full-size guns. So you know that this little dude has quite a bit of power in him.
And he's very handy with machinery and parts. He's like,
he's real smart.
You know, like putting stuff together really fast.
He's building that bomb.
It's really cool.
The wonderful scene on Quill's ship where he's kind of taking pieces off the ship, building bombs, and he's obviously working on the gun that they use at the end of the film.
Right. Like he says, we can blow up moons. We're not going to blow up moons. But I thought Peter Quill's character is really good. He's obviously he's a wiseacre. He's a wise guy, but he's also very good at what he does. He's very good with two of his laser guns or whatever they are.
Yeah, he learned. I have a feeling he learned quite a bit from Yondu. And
yeah, from the Ravagers.
We experience that that connection, that appreciation that Yondu has for Peter Quill throughout the film, because multiple times Yondu throws back in his face, my boys wanted to eat you. They ain't never had Terran before, mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the father saying to the child, you better calm down or we're going to turn this car around. That's the threat he always throws out, but it's done in a way that's kind of fatherly in that he sees Quill as a son type figure.
Well, I also love that the way they tied the whole Walkman thing with the music to his mother. His mother made it for him.
Absolutely.
And now he's taken away from Earth when he's a small child. It's the thing he has to connect him to Earth. And, you see that part in the trailer and also in the movie where the guy takes his Walkman and he's so pissed, he's willing to get shocked repeatedly to get it back. And I love that when they escape from the prison, he's like, I gotta go back and get something. You guys go to the ship. And he goes to get his Walkman. And
they're sitting in the ship waiting for him, speculating what could be so important that he would risk his life. He gets to the ship.
He's how brave a warrior is, and he gets there.
He's very impressed by him. He's like,
he's an idiot.
What did you try so hard? Yeah, and he hands him the Walkman. He goes, you are an imbecile. It's great. I love all this. In the one of my favorite scenes is also between Peter and Gamora, where he's putting the Walkman on her ears. And
That's genius.
And she's like, very pleasant melody. He's just like yelling. He makes a move on her.
That's before they meet with the collector and they're just kind of discussing things. And he's talking about, there's a warrior back on Earth that, people talk about named Kevin Bacon, who saved an entire town and showed them the importance of enjoying music and dancing.
Yeah, it was a whole town. They all had sticks up their butts. She goes, who put the sticks up their butts? That's horrible. No. It's a metaphor. It's a figure of speech. He keeps doing that, like the whole throat cutting thing. It's a thing.
Why would I put my finger against his throat?
Because you know what I'm talking about, right? You've seen this before. Yeah. No.
Yeah, like when Drax looks at him, he's like, no. No,
there's so many wonderful callbacks, and I love callback jokes.
Right.
Callback jokes are probably my favorite in all of comedy, stand-up, all that, where it can go for, 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden there's another joke relating to that past joke. In the film, we have Rocket, where he's kind of attached to making people humiliate themselves for his own entertainment.
Yeah.
So before they break out of the prison, he says, that guy's prosthetic leg. I need his leg.
Right.
And Peter Quill goes through all the trouble, this last-minute prison escape that Groot causes.
That Peter doesn't just grab it from him and take it. He, says, hey, I really need your leg. And
he's essentially a kind-hearted person.
Yeah. He doesn't... Where Drax would have ripped his leg off and just taken it, but Peter,
buys it.
He buys it. He goes, I gave him
30,000 credits.
It was great. And, I especially love that whole scene when they go to the collector. The collector explains the Infinity Gems to them, which,
The first time in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that we've had it explained to us.
Right. We know that there's the Tesseract in the Avengers. It was in Captain America, that cube thing. That's one of the Infinity Gems. The Aether from Thor the Dark World, that's another one. I believe they're blue and red. And this one was purple, I believe.
Yeah, this is the Power Gem, I believe.
And Thanos, he wants all of them. Because it informs a thing called a Infinity Gauntlet, where they all go on a glove that apparently gives them ultimate power. So basically, he could never, should never let that guy have that. Am I right?
Yeah, that could be trouble.
The one thing I thought was interesting is at the end of Thor, they bring that, the ether to the collector. So he supposedly has it there, or he sold it to somebody. I don't know.
Yeah, they say that they already have the Tesseract on, in Asgard. They can't have two Infinity Gems together
in the same
place.
Right. And, what's funny is, you know, when you see that scene with the collector, you're like looking around at stuff. The main thing I notice is the elf guy from Thor the Dark World is in one of those cubes. I wonder if that's the same guy, like the main bad guy, or it's just a dark elf as prisoner there. I don't know, but
I have a feeling it's just a prisoner. But the other thing I was noticing everybody was talking about was in that scene at the end of the Dark World, that there's a gigantic cocoon there in that in the collector, and that's Adam Warlock,
Adam Warlock's cocoon or whatever, but I don't know anything about Adam Warlock.
Yeah, neither do I. It was just another, like, kind of, I'm sure just a little nod.
Yeah, it's cool Easter eggs for people in the know, and I'm sure that's pretty exciting when you
see
stuff
like
that.
And there were so many of them as you're, like, looking around at different things that I can't wait till it hits Blu-ray so that everybody can analyze, like, all the little Easter eggs in the collector's place.
The one at the end of the movie was one that we all got. So it was good that there was, like, an Easter egg there that was like, oh, okay. You know, we all get it and we laugh. But
the first night we saw it, you and I just bust out laughing because it was just perfect. It was one of those characters we haven't seen in so long.
You never know if the Marvel thing at the end is going to be about the next film setting it up, or it's going to be a goof, like the end of Avengers is them eating shawarma.
Yeah.
You know, or you don't know if it's going to be something where it's tying into the, like, the end of Captain America, the most recent one. Remember, that one was setting up the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are there as prisoners or something like that. So you never know. So when you get it, you're like, what the hell is this going to be? And then you see it and it's like, oh man, that's funny. You know, you get a laugh there.
The theater we were in at the Showbiz, I think half the people got it and half the people didn't, because there was an equal amount of what the hell and an equal amount of laughs.
Right.
But I loved that after it happened, it actually recognized the creators.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was classy. That was a really classy move on Marvel's part.
Because, you know, in the past, you know, they haven't always been so creator-friendly.
No.
Willing to tell you, you know, you just always hear that, like, DC and Marvel, a lot of those creators, like Jack Kirby, they didn't always get the recognition they deserved.
Well, in their older days, they had that corporation mentality of whatever you create, we own.
Yeah, it's ours. And, you know, like we read about Bill Mantlo, who created Rocket Raccoon. Apparently, he was in a horrible hit-and-run accident. And he's got brain damage and stuff. And he's, you know, it looks like, you know, he can't walk around or anything. He's like, you know, in a bed and everything like that.
Yeah, and he's I think he's also unable to speak because they talked about the reaction he had, about how happy he was, and he gave the thumbs up, which is his most,
right. They screened the film for him in his house, and they're also paying all of his medical bills and stuff, which I think is pretty awesome because, you know, Rocket Raccoon's gonna make them a lot of money, and they should set the guy up, you know. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and the film, okay, we saw it three times.
Twice.
And the third time, that was cool because I was like, Steven, we're going to go see it again. You want to come? And you were there. And it's the kind of film you can watch it multiple times.
Right.
You know, there's so many films now where you see it.
It's the first one I've seen multiple times in the theater within a short period of time.
Yeah,
a
like
long time.
I've seen it, like Captain America, I saw twice. And I believe, Iron Man 3, I saw twice. I saw Thor once. I saw the Avengers once in the theater. But this one, three times, baby!
Yeah, and each time there was just as much enjoyment as the first or second.
The third time, okay, you know, I was waiting for my daughter to see the part at the end with Groot, and she goes, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I go, no, 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 you can't. You can't go now. She goes, I've got to. I'm sorry. And she gets up and goes, and I'm like, oh, man.
I remember you. I heard you go, well, just keep watching as you go down the stairs, because it was right there at that moment.
She missed the part with Groot sprouting, but she got to see the part at the very end during the credits, which I'm glad, or the beginning of the credits.
And yeah, with I Want You Back.
Yeah, yeah, I'm glad she saw that. And by the way, I probably should have said some kind of spoiler alert before we talked about this, but hopefully everyone has seen it by now, and if you haven't, go see it, because it's awesome, and it's fun for the whole family. And there's parts where they use some bad language, but it's fine. It's, you use worse around your children, right? You know?
Yeah, so, it's an innocent usage of it. You know, it's a very childlike usage of it. Kind of, I mean, it's
Peter, and it's mean-spirited.
Peter Quill picked it up on Earth before he left, so.
Yeah, if I was a kid and I saw that movie, I would be using the term turd blossom constantly.
That whole climax to the film, first of all, it has, you know, a big battle on Xandar with ships. And I love the Ravager ships, by the way. And Novas are pretty cool, too, like that starburst pattern.
Yeah.
And the aliens,
and the way they can form as one to form a barrier and all that. I mean,
that's cool
that
stuff.
That took a lot of thought. That's very cool.
The fight on the ship and everything. By the way, the greatest moment in cinematic history, not just in this film, is when Groot has all the guys and he's going, pow, 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 like banging them all over the walls. And then he turns around and gives that smile like, ah.
I did good, didn't I?
Yeah, that smile is great. And I didn't notice till the second time we saw it that Drax is like going, ha, 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 ha.
You know what he's doing? So happy, that smile, like, yes, you picked like up pure,
I didn't know he could do this.
Seeing Groot kill all those guys at once, Drax is just like, oh, this is awesome.
I'm so proud.
And I also love when they're in the ship, like, crashing it in. They're sliding sideways in the Milano, and he's going,
shooting sideways as they go, just taking them out.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, I love that. And you just see Drax going, ah, ha, 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 ha. You know, he's just like laughing. He's everything. And Peter's just kind of like going, dude, what the hell?
Peter and Gamora are shitting their pants. And you know, crashing into this ship, going all around. And all you hear is Drax
laughing.
He's having the thawing in the back
of his life. And I love that even though he's repeatedly gotten his ass kicked by Ronan, he still like charges him again. That's the way he fights. You just run for the guy.
It's that moment of clarity for him where he's more than just kind of, it's gone past the vengeance into him defending his loved ones.
Right. There's that great part where, you know, he's telling them all he's his friends, and he's about to tell Gamora she's his friend, but he calls her a green whore. That kind of stops everything. But then Nebula shows up and he shoots her point blank with a rocket launcher. He goes, nobody talks to my friend like that. And it's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's great moments of laughter and stuff.
Yeah, it's just pure. It's just so freaking joyful.
It really is.
And it's like after I think the third time after we saw it, I turned to you and I was like, that's the movie honestly has that vibe, that feeling of wonder and joy that I got after the first time I saw the first Star Wars. And I can't help but think of this film as like the Star Wars for this new young generation until, of course, Episode 7 comes out.
Right. I mean, what I really wanted to know, like, I want to see a map of that galaxy, like what's next to Xandar and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like other,
I want
to
know it all. I want to know that cosmic Marvel universe. Mm-hmm. I want to experience over and over and over again.
Oh, and I love that nowhere place is in a dead celestial's head.
Yeah, and they harvest the brain tissue and spinal tissue.
Yeah, it's so gross. When I didn't catch that it was spinal fluid originally the first time, then the second time when Ronan throws him into it, I'm like, ah, he's in spinal fluid.
Yeah.
He's in like celestial spinal fluid.
All that stuff is like magical healing stuff or something.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about this movie forever, but it is awesome. And I love it. It's one of my favorite movies. Like you were immediately talking about if he was your favorite Marvel film. I still love the last Captain America movie a lot, but I also love this movie a lot.
I have the way I'm gauging them on a kind of a different curve.
Right.
Like the Captain America film was great for the like the down more down to earth Marvel kind of action conspiracy. Like it's really good. I love that movie. That's fantastic. But just for the pure joy and experience of space, because I'm a sci-fi nerd.
There's nothing better than a ragtag group of underdogs who find each other living on a ship. It's awesome.
Yeah, and there's this great shirt that was on Ripped Apparel of like the Star Wars cast that said the what was it, Warriors of the Stars, and it was them all in the way that they were at the lineup going into the kiln, like the like Groot kind of leaning over, but it's Chewbacca and Luke with his middle finger up and all that. But that's the way it is. Groot. I can't resist a sci-fi ragtag group movie. It's just that's what elevates it for me to be my favorite Marvel film.
And I don't think I've read anyone shit all over the movie yet. I've seen
I wasn't aware people were shitting on it.
No, I don't either.
I saw one Vice, whoever this Vice.
Oh, please. Vice is like the frat boy of journalism. They're assholes.
I just think that's the one I saw. Yeah.
Some people like to shit on the Marvel movies in general, but this film is so much fun. It's pure joy. And unfortunately, Bill, I have to bring up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, God.
Because honestly, okay, do you guys remember when the first trailer came out and I was, you know, a lot of people were very forgiving of their new appearance. They now have nostrils. And my first reaction was like, what the hell is this shit? You know, it really was. I was reacting like, say, someone with the Star Trek remake or something like that. I was like, what the hell? You don't mess with their appearance this much. They look gigantic. They look weird. But I got used to them over time. They do look ridiculous to me, like this urban kind of turtle thing going on. And I believe you were sold pretty much on that first trailer, weren't you? Or you were like, this looks pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it looked like it could be a lot of fun.
Right. And you even forgave their new appearance, too,
yeah,
right?
It didn't bother me at all until I started watching the film itself.
All right, and so I will definitely be seeing this with Emma. She really wants to see it, so we're going to go see it. And, you know, I'm not crazy. I know that the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie is not any masterpiece. It was a fun movie that I saw at exactly the right age. You know, I read the comics. That first issue when it came out, I think it was like in its second or third printing when I read it. I don't know. But me and my buddy Ray, we read it, and it was kind of like a joke. You look at it, go, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but you start reading it, and we liked the art and how it was it was black and white. It was obvious, like, independent, you know, these guys did it on their own. So there's something inspiring about that. So you read it, and it's, like, pretty good. But before you know it, you blink, and all of a sudden the shit's everywhere, and they got, the cartoon came out, and toys, and video games, and holy shit, Ninja Turtles have, it's like they've gone away a little bit, but they always come back, don't they, in some different form.
Yeah.
And now there's this version. And by the way, the Nickelodeon show is a lot of fun. I sit there and watch it with Emma, and they've got it right, I think. It's pretty entertaining, and it's fun. Now this, what is it about it that you like and don't like, Bill?
Okay, it starts off with a very, it basically gives, kind of a comic-y, very nice art style intro, kind of a backstory, you know, and it's the, you know, very close to the original story. And we get thrown into this world where, there's the Foot Clan and it's this huge crime syndicate that's causing all kinds of problems. They're robbing chemicals for some reason. April O'Neil is an entertainment reporter, but she wants to be more.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people like bagging on Like, we always know what Megan Fox is there for. She's like window dressing. I don't think she's the greatest actress or anything.
And you know what? The movie is self-aware in that.
Right.
And you know, it does a really good job of being self-aware. But
so would you say she's good or she's awful?
She's the best part of the movie, honestly. She's probably the most believable of the film, and that's saying something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a fan of the 1990 April, okay?
Yeah, aren't we all? But they do give her the yellow jacket, and there's a little less cleavage, honestly, than the cartoon.
It's for kids! Come on!
Yeah, but it's... Oh, God, the movie's just so freaking soulless.
Well, no, yeah, that's what I want to talk to you about. Like, when the turtles are together, they at least have that repartee going on.
They don't.
They don't?
They honestly don't. It's so over the top. And you know what's funny is they don't go for character as much as design.
Just
the That's how you tell them apart.
Yeah.
Rafe, you know, Raphael is... always been kind of the grouchy one.
Right. So right. He's the loner badass.
Yes. And so what do they do to him? To get that across to people, they make him look like Lou Ferrigno on steroids.
Okay.
I mean, it's just way too big, way too bulky, way too growly. There's zero character in these turtles.
Can I ask you one question? Because I read this.
Okay.
Do the turtles fart in the movie?
One time. And you know what? I actually giggled at it because they're making an escape. They're going down the tunnels and they all jam into the entrance and they're stuck. And as they're wiggling, Mikey farts. And it's a very kind of innocent, understated fart. It's not like a very loud, obnoxious thing, okay. But it's, yes, there is one fart. And I giggled at it. I couldn't help myself.
Okay.
But other than that, you know how you always kind of loved Mikey because he was the fun-loving kind of goofy one?
Right.
As this movie progressed, I hated him more and more because he's so obnoxious.
That's a fact, Jack!
And it just makes zero sense. His obsession with, like, April O'Neil being his girl, it reminded me of Caleb
checker,
in the Big Brother house obsessing over Amber.
But she's a human and he's a turtle.
Yeah.
Is it, like, almost sexual? Like, he's horny for her?
Yes. Because they constantly talk about how hot she is.
Okay.
And it's because they're obsessed with pop culture. There's a scene of with them as teenagers with a mirror on a stick looking out of the gutter watching Gwen Stefani's Holla Back Girl video on the TV. So I guess that's their explanation of why they think, you know, humans are hot is they kind of get inundated with popular culture. Okay. And that's what they like.
Wow.
So it's just really creepy.
What
because
about,
he looks, that, they look like lizards. The more you watch the film, the more you get kind of put off by the way they look.
I was put off them from the moment I saw them.
Well, it's Splinter is really off-putting because they went far too realistic in trying to represent what they were.
Right, because they have the effects now that they can do this awesome thing. That's a one that it had a lot of character in the 1990 version because it was Jim Henson Studios doing it.
Yes.
Right. Now, of course, it's all CGI. Was the CGI at least pretty awesome in 3D and stuff?
No, it wasn't. There was a lot of it looked very phony, especially the final, I wouldn't even call it a battle.
Was the Shredder CGI also, or is it a man?
Christ, the Shredder is probably one of the biggest problems with this film. Too much. Too freaking much. They put so many knives on the Shredder that if anybody actually fought him for real, they would be put into just slices, like they would be fighting a mandolin.
Because I could really go for a little deep dish action right about now.
It made no sense. It was so ridiculous, so overdone.
We know that Michael Bay produced it. It's basically over-the-top Michael Bay stuff.
I can't blame Michael Bay for this.
Yeah, well, I've told people, you know, on Facebook, like, well, technically he didn't direct it, but you don't know what kind
Jonathan
of orders.
Jonathan Liebsman?
Yeah, we don't know what kind of orders he's taking. It might be.
Yeah, the best way I can describe the ending of this film is take the Amazing Spider-Man, the most recent one,
right,
with the lizard,
mm-hmm,
and put the Ninja Turtles in it. And you have,
dude, that
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That would have been a cool movie, like Spider-Man versus the Turtles.
Well, that would have been entertaining. But this is, the whole thing is, and the backstory they created, this new story they created is that, the ooze is of an otherworldly origin.
Yeah. That, remember back when the movie was first announced, people were like, in the new Michael Bay Ninja Turtles, they're aliens. And everyone was like, what the hell, man? Like, punching stuff.
No, in
stuff.
Fact, there's a knowing line in the film where they're like aliens? No, turtles.
Right.
So, this ooze is from another world. April O'Neil's father is a scientist. He's working with William Fichtner,
who plays Sax. Yeah, I've read about all this. We're basically like Amazing Spider-Man, where Spider-Man, Peter Parker didn't just get this spider by accident, the spider bite that turned him in. It's his destiny.
Yes.
And it's almost like April O'Neil is tied into the turtles' destiny of them being mutants.
She's always at this laboratory. For some reason, a child is at a scientific laboratory all the time.
Why do they do this, Bill, in these movies? Why do they do this?
I don't know. And she's feeding box turtles and a rat pizza. So that's why they like pizza.
Do you want a fist in the mouth?
I like in the original 1990, remember when they're little babies and they start walking and
radical, radical, radical.
One of them goes, pizza. That's so cute, Steven, isn't it? Come on. They didn't have anything like that.
That was one of my favorite parts of that film.
Pizza.
So we get the explanation of why they like pizza. We also get the explanation that
why can't they just taste pizza later on in life? And
I know.
It?
I know.
It has to be something that
all teenagers like pizza.
They just April gave them pizza when they're babies. I don't want to hear anymore, Bill. Jesus.
Well, I have to because it just goes into how like contrived it all was. So,
was there at least a scene where Mikey does a nunchuck off with another ninja?
There are some scenes, but because they're supposed to be vigilantes, you don't see a lot of the fighting.
What?
Yeah, the earlier scenes, you don't see a lot of the fighting. The time that you see the fighting the most is near the end of the film once they have to defend, New York against this chemical attack that the Shredder's beginning.
Chemical attack? The Shredder's not a terrorist, is he?
Apparently he is now. So the story, let me get back to the whole laboratory thing. Sax is inherently evil. As a child, he spent time in Japan. His father was off doing his thing. He ended up joining a dojo. Shredder was his sensei. His mind is twisted. He becomes evil. And during this experimentation, April O'Neil's father discovers that Sax has an ulterior motive all along, that he's evil. They want to use this serum to create basically super soldiers, if you will. Yeah. Sax.
Well, cool. Thanks, Bill. That's enough.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing the film very soon.
it's really contrived. It's, the characters are very surface. There's no real development or camaraderie.
There's no teenagers like stealing stuff in town or anything.
No. No.
And they've got this big warehouse where they all play video games and stuff. Nothing like that.
No.
Now
we see their lair for about 5 minutes.
Is the Ultimate Turtles movie still the 1990 one?
Yep.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's just, it's very, it's not good. And it pains me to say it because I wanted it to be good. And it's just not.
Maybe I've looked at another guy before.
By the end of it, you will forget about it as you walk out the door.
Yeah, that's what I expect. Okay. Well, thank you for that, Bill. Thank you for taking one for the team there.
Yeah, I would have rather seen Guardians of the Galaxy again. In fact, as I was going out, one of the children in the theater turned to his grandmother and said, I wish we would have seen Guardians again.
He's right.
Yeah.
I really hope Guardians beats Ninja Turtles.
It needs to. Word of mouth, I think, is going to exceed.
I still can't get over that a Ninja Turtle farts. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys.
Or is obsessed with the woman who keeps saying how hot she is.
Right. He's a turtle. He's attracted to a female human. Okay.
He declares his love for her multiple times.
Aw, well, doesn't she know if she kisses him that they have all sorts of diseases and stuff? You know, turtles in the sewer. Nope. That can't be good.
Apparently not.
Does she ever kiss one on the cheek and he blushes like, oh, shucks, or anything?
No, that would be too much character development.
I figure I could have predicted that would be in the movie, and it's not?
No.
Wow. Okay, well, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo! And we will be taking a break very soon, guys. I just want you guys to know that. But first, one little bit from the Wil Wheaton Project that I want to play here. It's just a quick joke. It's probably not even a minute long. Let's check it out. You guys ready?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Some New Jersey moviegoers were upset when, instead of showing Guardians of the Galaxy, their theater accidentally played Rise of the Guardians, which features Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. Now, what's even worse is the people who expected to see Hercules were actually shown the right movie.
Nice. Pretty funny, huh?
Thank you.
That's fake.
There was another story that people were shown the Guardians.
The Owls of Ghul.
The Owls of Ghul, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was funny. Anything with the Guardians. So they have all the movies on a hard drive now at theaters, I guess, and they type in Guardians. All right. What's these owls and shit? I thought it was a friggin' raccoon or something.
Where's the flying raccoon?
What the hell? Now, Bill, we're going to talk about restaurant startup, and then we're going to take a break, okay?
Okay.
Can everybody's good?
Yep.
Okay, you watch this restaurant startup. We're going to cover the one with Bonza.
Bonza!
These guys have come up with a way to do pasta from garbanzo beans, right?
Oh,
chickpeas.
I thought it was a Chinese thing.
Well, what does he say? He has sinus infections when he eats pasta. He's can't eat gluten.
Yes, he's gluten intolerant.
So he came up with this way of making pasta with chickpeas. And it seems like a really cool idea, but was weird, like, right away, because I thought the show was called Restaurant Startup. These guys don't want a restaurant. They just want to launch, like, a shelf item at Whole Foods.
Yeah, they want a product launch. They want a retail space.
Which I was like, okay, they're not going to pick those guys. They're going to pick the ravioli guys. They want a restaurant. But no, they went with the garbanzo bean guys or whatever. And they go, we hate your logo. We hate your box. We hate your name.
We hate you.
We hate you. Come up with something different. So what did they do? They kept the same name, but at least they designed a new box, right?
Yeah.
And I love when there's that one lady who works with Joe and Tim Love. She's supposed to give them advice. She's like, I want to see your whole menu right now. Or you have 90 minutes to go make everything. And they're like, okay. So they go in there, make everything, and she eats it. And she goes, this is insulting. It's awful. The chicken's cold. Everything's like prepared with like, they had no love in their food at all.
They wanted to do a buffet. Like, here's your pasta. Put what you want on it. It's like,
the first thing they said is, you know, get a chef in here. And they didn't. They went and talked to the guy about the decor. They just had no idea what they were doing. And I forgot the amount they asked for originally. Do you remember how much it was?
It was way too high. I know that.
Because, okay, this is when afterwards, basically their their bonza pasta when it's in high temperatures of sauce, it starts to break down in the bowl.
Which is like, very common for any pasta that isn't actually pasta.
Right.
Like, I've run into that with, like, quinoa pasta, rice pasta. It just doesn't hold together. You have to eat it right away.
They should have...
Gluten's what holds it together.
Yeah. What they should have had is the pasta in a bowl separately, and then you pour the sauce on it yourself or something. But those guys were morons. They didn't think about that. But here's the part where... Joe, he kind of tells him what's up, and we'll see what his offer is to these guys. These guys is over here.
The one real ignorance that you guys seem to have is really about the food itself. You know, the facts about the pasta, but you really don't know how it affects the end consumer. And that was kind of apparent today.
I understand where you're coming from. Yeah,
it's a fair point.
It is a fair point. It was definitely a learning experience, and an early one at that, but we're taking as much as we can away from it.
Listen, could you guys stop it with the NBA junior analyst bullshit? This is not Wall Street. We're not in a shareholder meeting. We're talking about a food product. And I think that that's where you guys are fundamentally off the rails here. Food is family. And until you guys understand that, I'm serious. I'm not kidding you.
No, I hear you. And remember.
And because, quite frankly, what I don't get about this package and this food is that aside from the potential and all this thought that you want, there is not enough love in this package. I think that you guys come up with a good idea.
Joe's so dramatic.
You don't have the fundamental DNA behind you to put together what I think will be a product that could sell.
You're telling me that I don't care about this product. That's what it sounds like.
He cares about this. What he doesn't care about is how it all comes together in the pan.
Would you agree that the larger opportunity is having a product that appeals to people that like nutrition and that are happy with something that tastes good, if not great? We already have something that appeals to a large percentage of people.
But you don't know that. Now, how can you say that?
Look at what you just showed me.
You also have a product that we can't put tomato sauce on and let it sit for 5 minutes or it breaks down.
There's stuff to work for. That's fair enough. We're not done prototyping.
Here's my deal.
Wait, you're not done prototyping.
$50,000, and you're going to give me three things. 5% of the company for the $50,000. You're going to give me another 5% of the company because my name is Joe Bastianich. You're going to give me a seat on the board of directors when there's one created. I want to be there with you in the decision-making process.
I know you own a lot of other businesses. Do you have the time to spend any time on this?
If I have to explain what I could do for this project, then this conversation is over. I can't go into a deal where you don't validate at all the value that I bring into this.
I really do. I mean, honestly,
but you're not doing it financially. You'd like telling me to go myself. So, you know, that's what it is.
Really not. I mean, would either of you be interested in the 10% for $100,000?
I'm out for $100,000.
I'm only interested in the deal that I offered you.
Trying to understand how that could even, if you believe in the opportunity.
I think it's a unique opportunity, but I'm lucky enough that I see lots of unique opportunities. You haven't sold a box of pasta yet. You have no revenue. You can't really cook it. I mean, you know, okay,
yeah,
there is
interest.
You haven't done anything yet. So this is very, very speculative stuff here.
I mean, my offer on the table is, would you meet us halfway?
Yeah, 50,000.
No, we're going to still take 10%. Instead of 50,000, I'm going to give you 75,000, of which 25,000 is going to be first money out. I'm on the board, and I get to vote with you guys on the decisions we're in the business.
And
that's
their
the last deal, and I'm not going to negotiate anymore.
They moved you pretty quick.
It's the same deal. It's just I'm giving them a loan.
Joe, so $75,000 for 10%. We accept your deal.
You got a deal, boys. Congratulations.
Good job, guys. You boys.
Congratulations, guys.
What I want to know is, what are they going to do with that money? It seemed like a very low amount, but what are they going to do with it if they're not going to open a restaurant?
Advertising.
They've got to figure out a formula that doesn't like fall to pieces. I don't know, but I saw
they figure. It's weird because I watched the other things when they ask for a certain amount. The amount is 10% of what the worth of the product is. So they're saying it's worth almost $1 million.
Right. They are saying they have something there. Cause
but they haven't sold anything yet.
The creator of Whole Foods was there. This crazy looking hippie lady, I guess. She was
she
like,
doesn't shave her armpits either, I'm sure.
Yeah, she was like, I would put this on my shelves. And they were like, oh, you could see ching, like dollar signs appeared in his eyes. And I saw at the very end, it said that Bonza Pasa will, come out this September, 2014. At some stores, like Majir or something, I've never heard of it, whatever it is.
Well, I'll make sure I don't run out and get it.
But, you know what drives me nuts is MSNBC, it's CNBC?
CNBC, yeah.
It stutters, and every episode of that show does this little during the show, and you could hear it happening on that clip. When I realized it was happening, it was driving me crazy.
Are you watching it on their website?
No,
you should, because it's perfect.
On my DVR.
Yeah, watch it on CNBC.com.
But I wonder what the F and Dill is, though. I don't know.
It's DirecTV. They suck.
All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about Hotel Hell. Woohoo!
Kids, don't do drugs.
If I had my way, I'd change my hair. To give a kid's meal the way I like it, with no pickles. Sure. Yeah.
Burger King is going bonkers.
Bonkers, that's me.
Those crazy tunes from Disney's Bonkers are in crash apart cars. They snap together so that you can crash them apart. You can collect all five, one with every kid's meal, only at Burger King, where bonkers is a smash.
It's time you were warned. Once you try Kellogg's Rice Krispies Treat Cereal, one taste is never enough. Because it's everything you love about the taste of Kellogg's Rice Krispies Treats in an incredibly crispy cereal. And part of this complete breakfast. Yeah, you might just find yourself going to great lengths to get it. Because one taste is never enough.
With Nickelodeon Slap and Stick mini posters, you can take these wacky, wonderful characters with you again and again. Two with two proofs of purchase from Kellogg's Rice Krispies Treat Cereal. But be careful, you make it slap happy.
If kids like me took over the world, there wouldn't be any school. Better yet, we'll keep school, but it won't really be like school. Our favorite classes will be gym, recess, and marine biology, where we'll learn how to save the whales. As long as we're changing the world, let's change the name to McWorld, because McDonald's will be the official food. We'll take all-day field trips to Mickey D's, which Randy Kretschmer will never go on, because he'll be in permanent detention. He picked on me in social studies. And, you know, let's get a cool gym teacher for once.
You bad for a game of horse?
Hey, it could happen.
There's only one way to make the coolest games even cooler. Game Genie. Yeah! To start at any level, Game Genie. To play your way.
Game Genie!
Well, get this. Game Genie's got the secret codes for Mortal Kombat. And if you think Mortal Kombat is awesome now, wait till you play with Game Genie. Because if you don't, you'll never know how far you can go.
Now Game Genies cost less, each sold separately for most video game systems. Free Mortal Kombat Game Genie codes at participating retailers. Supplies limited to year end.
Twizzlers. A sea of mouth-watering Twizzlers. Chewy. Tastes so fruity. I love it when it twizzles. Twizzlers makes mouse happy.
The genius behind very fine apple quenchers.
Good fruit drink, but needs something. Like, oh, an apple, yeah. Uh-oh. Yikes! No!
New apple quenchers from Very Fine. Great tasting fruit, thirst-quenching apples. Nothing quenches like apple quenchers.
Saturday night is the best night. Saturday night is great. Saturday night is... it's really happening. It's sick.
Welcome to Crystal Princess World.
Oh, Princess Crystal Horn!
Princess Crystal Diamond!
They're all so beautiful.
I love you, Crystal Princess. Your magic fills the air. I love your crystal bedroom suite where...
filled with crystal stars.
Crystal Princess World.
Crystal Princess and Crystal Princess Bedroom Suite each sold separately.
It seems no matter how much you want a crisp, delicious Eggo waffle, there's always someone who wants it a little more. crisp, delicious Eggo waffles, part of a nutritious breakfast.
Isn't technology wonderful?
Guess who's new in the littlest pet shop?
Who?
Splash Happy Pups.
Ooh.
Who has Splash Happy Pups for you?
Clean and pretty on bath shampoo.
The littlest pet shop. That's who.
You'll love their tub and vanity. And they're a prize-winning pups, too.
Who has prize-winning puppies who they can walk and dress up to?
The littlest pet shop. That's who.
You all win.
Splash Happy Pups and prize-winning pups each sold separately.
Hey, what do you want from a high-powered blaster?
Balls! More balls!
Whoa! Thunderstrike 20. Not 3. Not 6. Not even 8. 20 rapid-fire shots. No waiting, no poker.
The 20-ball Thunderstrike 20. More balls than any other blaster.
What's the matter? Out of ammo? Have a ball!
Thunderstrike 20. Balls! More balls! Thunderstrike 20. Only from Tyco. Batteries not included.
Now, two can play the games of the Super NES Super Scope. Yoshi Safari and Metal Combat Falcon Revenge. So to prepare yourself, you might want to consider some basic training exercises.
The best play here!
Hey, mister, your hardware's looking real good. This insulation's just right. Wool mufflers and full length shears are what I want to wear tonight. You'll be the first place. I'll always try, cause hardware now has a softer side. Come see the softer side of Sears.
They come into Walmart, they feel like it's a home store. We have people that come in that we know, you know, and come in and say, hi, Don, you know, how are you today? And you do your best to help them out because you love them. It's a community business, so therefore they're going to be reaching out to the community, and the community reaches back. They know us. It's family. That's what it is.
Wouldn't you give anything for hair this shiny and healthy? Blow drying gave me split ends. But Pantene Pro-V Shampoo and Treatment Conditioner helped change all that. Pro-V contains pro-vitamins which go deep into your hair, giving it extra treatment all the way to the tips. And look, it's so healthy, it shines.
Pantene Pro-V Shampoo and Treatment Conditioner. For hair so healthy, it shines. And introducing the Pantene Pro-V Styling Line.
Playing with cars is something some kids never outgrow. Frank couldn't wait to get Bobby an RC car. You know, the ones with the controllers? I said, isn't he a little young?
Oh, it's from play school.
It is different than other RCs. It's really solid. There's just one big button to push. And Bobby loves it. He drives that RC outside. He drives it inside. He drives the dog crazy. Gotta hand it to play school, though. They know how to make my guys happy.
Naomi came home on a Saturday night with three tacos from Taco Bell. Crunchy original and Taco Supreme and that new big beef, oh yeah. Taco Bell tacos, crunchy and delicious, yeah, they taste so good. And when Naomi took a bite of the new big beef, she woke up the neighborhood. She made a run for the border.
Ma'am, do you have a license for that taco?
You're just in time for Red Lobster's three new trios, just $9.99. Our new seafood trio, our shrimp trio, and our mixed grill, all three $9.99. So hurry in for something great tonight at Red Lobster.
What, Ma?
The Chex Party Mix is for the guests? Good grief.
Don't worry. Now it's so easy. We can make more in 10 minutes.
I can't even make toast.
Just mix up the Chex and the seasoning, shake it in a bag, and pop it in the microwave.
They're not coming? We can't eat the Chex Party Mix? All right. Chex Party Mix. It's so easy and so good.
In Mexico, the word for beach is playa, and there's over 6,000 miles of playa to play on. The word for sun is sol, and there's plenty of that to warm yours. Now, if the question is, can you afford to go? The word for that is peso, because in Mexico, you won't pay so much for a little playa and sol.
To find out more, call 1-800-44-MEXICO.
Teen idol Marky Mark is getting a bad rap. Tell you why at 11.
Looking for the best deal in a set of wheels? Untrustable Buster Bunny inviting you to visit our fabulous showroom.
Righto, Buster! McDonald's proudly rolls out 8 new Tiny Toon Adventures models loaded with innovative features. These babies come complete with hamburger, fries, and drink for an unheard of $1.99.
Buster, I am not wearing this dress. Our lovely spokesmodels will show you the vehicle of your dreams.
One with every $1.99 Happy Meal you buy your kids.
What you want is what you get.
This has gone too far.
At McDonald's today!
Oh, yes. Now, guys, I want to talk to you about Paw Butt. Did
Good
you get
Lord.
To see Hotel Hell?
Yes.
With the...
Yeah.
By the way, the place was beautiful. And
the location, yeah.
Well, this guy built this giant log...
Cabin resort.
Resort thing.
No, it's very idealistic.
Can you believe that this guy made this place?
No.
What
the
is
way
it,
he is now? No.
What is it that happened in his life where he gave up on everything and he just now just gets high?
He found the marijuana.
Yeah.
A lot. I think he always knew where the marijuana was.
Well,
he became very aware of it.
The guy does the thing where he acts like, hey, man, we're just about family and hanging out and having fun. It was like, no, you are. You're not helping anyone.
Yeah.
You're not helping your family. My favorite thing
You're
is...
You're annoying everybody.
Was the dog's name Droopy? Was that a beagle or a basset hound?
I think it was a basset.
How high do you think that dog is 24 hours a day?
That dog probably is as dependent on pot as he is.
The dog is just kind of laying... He's always
so
like...
He
just...
goes and picks up special marijuana dog biscuits.
Dishes are done,
the
man.
The dog has been getting like a secondhand high like all of its life. And I'm like, this here's Droopy. And he's just like laying like, the dog's like all passed out. I loved it. But, of course, Gordon shows up at this place, and it's quite beautiful, but there's no one there to answer the buzzer. And so the guy's name is Paw Butt, and he goes, we're all just a bunch of buttlings around here, and I'm in my butt hut. And Gordon's like, butt hut? What is he talking about?
It's like a foreign language to him.
Let's check this out. This guy is a trip, but the dude is totally stoned off his ass.
I just like the way Gordon was like, oh, what herbs are these?
Yeah, he goes, herbs? I love fresh herbs.
Is it like oregano?
Yeah, let's check this out. This is so funny.
Hey, hello. What are you doing, Gordon?
Hey, good. I thought you'd gone.
No, I was just hanging out.
Sorry, I didn't catch your first name.
Richard.
Richard.
But around here, they kind of call me Paw Butt.
Paw Butt?
Paw Butt.
Paw Butt.
We're just buttlings, all of us are in around here.
Do you normally run front desk?
This bell goes to my room.
Okay.
And then when music starts coming, I turn it over.
Music?
The music program we're going to do tonight.
So there's a band playing tonight?
Yes. And then we'll probably jam out later.
Okay.
In the butt hut.
What is the butt hut? Just help me.
Would you like to see the butt hut?
I'd love to see the butt hut.
Okay.
Yeah, look. This is where you run the reception from the butt hut.
You in the butt.
Wow. This is the butt hut.
This is where me and Troopy hang out. Get up.
Smell. What is that smell?
Incense. They're right here.
Incense.
Yes.
That is a strong f***ing incense.
Yeah.
But that doesn't smell like the smell I've just smelled.
Yeah, it's herbs. It's a medicinal herb.
I love herbs, especially the freshness of them.
You can use it for cooking if you want to do a really nice fettuccine.
Okay. Was it like a basil?
Yeah, it's like a basil.
Wow.
It has a nice smell to it.
Me. That's definitely not basil.
Is this cannabis?
Yes. So we smoke pot.
Poof, that's what I could smell the minute I came in here.
Yeah. What do you want me to do?
Is this legal here?
Yes. I use medicinal herb.
Before you put your hands back in that cookie jar, do you mind if I see my room? It's get a bit late.
Oh. I'm done for a while.
Oh, okay, you're done
for a
while.
Yeah, I'm medicated. Like, you know,
so how do I get to the room?
I'll show you.
I love this the lingo.
The owner of this lodge is as high as a kite.
Wow, look at this place.
He probably hasn't even noticed the place has no furniture.
This is the cattleman room.
It smells like cattle in here.
Wow.
What happened to the carpet? Did the dog have an accident?
You know, we party a lot here, so you're gonna have liquor. Who knows what's on these carpets, right?
What is that?
That's just bugs.
Bugs? Oh, bloody hell.
That's all. Yeah. Oh,
and a crispy daddy long leg. That's disgusting.
And this is your view out here.
No, I didn't notice the view because of the carpet. My God, what a stunning location.
It's paradise. It truly is.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, this place is stunning.
Shame it's so filthy, Richard.
So the bedroom's up here, right?
Right.
What in the hell has happened to this carpet?
I haven't been up there in a while.
There's more stains on this carpet than inside.
Oh, yeah, I told you, they party in here.
No, but how? I mean, how many come? Look at this carpet.
Every room's got those stains on them, you know.
And what about the cover on the bed? When was that from? 1970?
You have to talk to Joanne about that.
Joanne, that's your wife.
John. Ex-wife.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. She wants to be a business.
Damn.
Which she should be.
It's not a business to me.
Let's catch up later. I'm going to pack my bags.
Okay. Cool.
Thanks for the update.
This place is disgusting.
Wow.
And it's hardly surprising seeing that the owner doesn't see it as a business.
I need some fresh air.
He clearly doesn't care about paying guests.
Kids, don't do drugs. You'll end up like that. Useless.
What's with the bell gong? For who the bell tolls, the high guy?
When
he goes and talks to one of the sons and he's like, tell me the truth. You had a smoke? You had a smoke recently? And he's like, no. Like early today, but not like recent. Last 20 minutes? He goes, no. And he's like, dude, you're totally stoned.
They're all stoned out of their gourds.
And that poor mom, like she's running everything, but nobody helps her at all.
No, and the two sons take their businesses separate, and they take all the profit from the music and the restaurant.
The music's so loud that the people who do stay there, they complain, and then they get the room comped. So there's nothing. There's this part where they have their concert, and all these scary, like, hippie people are, like, dancing.
Oh, my God,
around.
It looked like a Dave Matthews Band concert.
Yeah, they're all hugging them, and even the one guy, Richard, he's in that mushroom outfit. He goes, hey, you know who's in here? And Gordon's like, oh, Jesus. It's so funny. And so after the concert's over, he goes to bed. But then they go and they have a little jam session in the Butt Hut. But they're so loud that Gordon has to go down there. And he's like, family meeting. And Gordon tries to talk some sense into all of them. But he's like, hey, man. I got this little part here where the Pa Butt tries to, like, say, this is just the way it is. And he's so aggravating.
Some things will never change.
I'm struggling. I've never seen anything quite as shoddy as I've experienced today. And I'm wondering why this place is still open. How much money did we make tonight? How much money did you make?
About $1,500.
$1,500. How much money did you make tonight?
A couple hundred.
About 500.
But with all the noise complaints, Joanna had to comp three rooms. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
You two make a profit, but your mother loses money.
Why would anyone stay in this place?
It does not make sense.
Nobody said we were sensible people. Oh, we're just blessed people.
Having $1 million in debt is not blessed.
First of all, you don't understand what you're talking about. You're talking business.
Mm-hmm.
You're a businessman.
Where's the business?
I'm not a businessman. And I don't try to teach people to be business people. This is our home.
How unique.
No one knows the difference between a hotel and a home. And does anyone else know how much stress and pressure you're under?
You know, I do what I have to do to keep the doors open, you know.
Can we just quit talking about money?
Richard, why can't it be financially secure so that both
we
of the kids...
We are financially secure.
No, Richard, we are not.
Well, you can laugh at this and laugh at that, and we just want to make everybody happy, man.
Listen, it ain't an issue with me.
You're refusing to look at the issue because you and your sons are taking advantage of Joanna.
No, it's not an issue.
So why are you talking so much...
It's not...
It's straight up. Everything you say to me, I'm just ignore.
I'm going to knock him on his ass.
You think I care
what you think about me?
Richard, why don't you go have your cigarette?
I'll go have my cigarette, relax a little bit, and we'll come back and then discuss this.
I don't think he ever came back.
No.
No.
He became too medicated. He went to the putt hut.
Too medicated right now, man. But just like you want to say, obviously, Gordon gave up on him. He goes, you have nothing to do with the business, so you can go away. And he goes, all right, it's cool with me, man. He gets up and leaves, and he goes, okay, now I want to talk to you guys. And that's how he gets everything in order. But I love at the end when they do the revamp of everything. He goes, I can't wait to show you what we did with the butt hut. And he goes, all right. And he goes, I didn't do anything to that place. I'm not going in there. He's like, oh, okay.
You didn't give me like a pot cabinet to put all my medicinal herbs.
Did you see how big this freaking thing of pot was? It was like a big jar.
It was a massive, I would have to say that was like a 2-gallon jar.
It's like what you put like Slim Jims in at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, I bet you that's where he got it. He bought a gigantic jar of Slim Jims.
And he goes, hey, I can put my weed in there.
That's why it smells meat.
I love that guy, Pop. His herbs. I love fresh herbs. Is that cannabis?
Cannabis. Is this legal? Like you didn't know already.
This stuff is illegal in several states.
Is this cannabis?
What is the butt hut?
What's a butt hut? All right, now I want to talk about MasterChef. Now, what were those little twirled candy-like pastas, Bill? What are they called?
Caramelle.
Have you guys ever had those?
No.
I mean, does it just taste like ravioli, but it's wrapped a different way?
Right.
Or?
Yeah. Essentially. Yeah. And you can put except I think
Linguini.
They said that the you had to kind of squeeze out the mozzarella so it wasn't as melty or
right.
Get all the water, extra water.
Yeah.
Out.
So it was more kind of like a smooth ricotta.
How annoying! Do you guys find Leslie annoying, the guy long hair?
Incredibly annoying.
So they give him the advantage where he gets to give somebody a rolling pin, and he takes forever to finally give it to someone being a smartass. But then, you know, we get to see the guy he gives it to gets a little too cutesy. So does Willie. He makes some kind of dessert pasta, which is a horrible idea.
Yeah, that's bad.
And the Scottish guy... Scottish Francis, he wants them to look like bubble gum.
So he made beet juice.
Yeah,
because that's delicious.
So let's go ahead and check this out and see how harsh the judges are.
I'm going to dye my pasta with beets and make it like bubble gum. Go bold, you know, go big.
You are an idiot.
I gave a rolling pin to Daniel because Daniel has been nothing but nasty to me from day one. My goal, hopefully, is to send him home and I don't have to look at him anymore.
So I'm going to tell you something. First thing I was ever really into was baseball. I love the Babe, so I'm swinging. I'm swinging, I'm calling it. This one's going out of the park and it's going right towards that right there. Wow.
Wow.
Such a fake laugh.
Francis, how are you doing?
Chef, good chef.
What's that?
This is a beet-colored pasta, just to give it the caramel-looking color.
Oh, beetroot juice.
Yes, chef.
You're just doing this for the eye again, just the color.
Yeah, I think candy and I think bubblegum, etc., you know, so...
Are you always this adventurous? I mean, do you ever think about playing safe and just getting through?
This is playing safe.
You are nuts, you know that.
Thank you, chef. I take
you
that as a
You are absolutely nuts. Good luck.
Big Willy, tell me what we got.
I'm doing a dessert carmelini.
No.
Yes. I got a squash and apple filling.
Okay.
And then I'm going to make a creme anglaise.
Doing that with creme anglaise, like in a dessert fashion, that's just crazy town.
You know, go big and go home.
But I mean, you don't want to go home.
When
though,
the judge
go home. You know that we're
town,
judging you on the caramelli.
Yeah, he's probably back off.
But, you know, I have to shy.
Well, at least you can live with that then.
This is a red wine caramelli filled with short rib. It's on a tamarind habanero curry. It's topped with roasted tomatoes, peppers, and roasted nori.
As far as the technique, the pasta looks like it's rolled fine. A little less appealing color-wise. Somehow you infuse the pasta with the wine?
Yes, chef. As I'm kneading the dough, I reduced one cup of wine. The color is certainly what I wanted to go for.
It is what you wanted. That's what you wanted.
Yes, chef.
Okay. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. And it's so out of line with what we showed and what we were asking.
Why go so far off?
This is a chance to reach the top 10.
Right.
And why give you something that you've had the best of in the world?
Right.
If I'm going out, I'm going out guns blazing.
Because that's what I asked for. This looks more like a steamed dumpling in a Chinese restaurant.
Noted.
The most amazing.
There's the habanero.
Ooh, it's hot.
Oh.
You think that could ever be served in an Italian restaurant?
Not in an Italian restaurant.
I mean, the pasta itself is too thick. It's gummy. You would never put red wine into pasta. The biggest challenge here was not the lack of the pasta machine that Leslie took away. I think the biggest challenge was yourself.
The size of them. I got more pasta than filling. I just want to share the experience.
Mm-hmm. You're not sure?
Mm-hmm. Too spicy. A contrast that doesn't work. I'd like to congratulate you on standing out tonight. Possibly outside the door.
Ba-dum-bum.
What do you think? I wish I had made the caramelli smaller. I enjoy the sauce.
Yeah.
And
stop that.
It doesn't.
Good night.
Thank you, chef.
That's so embarrassing.
I'm not a vengeful person, but my fingers are crossed and going, okay, this is my redemption here, man. Daniel's going home.
Disgusting.
God. And then when Willie brought his up there, I love when Gordon says, it looks like a dog's dinner. Yeah. Willie goes, oh, like, oh, that's bad. It's hilarious.
Poor Willie.
And I understand why the one who Francis got kicked out when they spit out his,
Did they spit out Scottish Francis?
No, they spit out the other
Maybe
guy.
I think they were just sick of his shenanigans or something.
Yeah, that's
know.
Exactly what it is.
But when you spit something out, that just means it's worse than anything
else. It's horrible,
else.
Yeah. And, I don't know. It's weird sometimes.
I mean,
understand.
They've done that twice now where they've, two of the judges have spit out the food, but they get somebody else out.
Yeah, it's like, if you can't even eat the food, that's pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they just didn't show them spitting out the one of Scottish Francis's stuff.
It's maybe.
Yeah. Now, did you guys get to watch Top Chef Duels?
No.
I did.
Duels?
I was very pleased that it's on, the first episode is on Amazon Instant for free.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was really cool about the, this is very, it kind of reminds me of other shows where we see people duel, you know, there's Iron Chef and all that, but mm-hmm. It's now Top Chef doing it. And the first episode is Richard Blaise, who, you know, we knew him back from when he was first on Top Chef, and then he lost in the final, and then he was in Top Chef All-Stars, and finally he won. And we rooted for him back then. And then he is going up against Marcel, who we all know as Baby Wolverine, right? Mini Wolverine?
Yes.
Wolverine, snickety, snickety, snowing.
Yeah.
And he still has that hair.
Yeah. Marcel's Quantum Kitchen, we covered that on the show. And in this episode of Top Chef Duels, you know, first of all, I don't know, Richard seems like a nice guy, I guess, but I couldn't help but notice a couple of times he drops that he has several restaurants.
Oh, he's an asshole. I've decided he's an incredible asshole.
Well, there's a part, Marcel mentions that, well, I've learned this when I have my catering company, and I was like, oh, his Quantum Kitchen.
Yeah.
That must be what he's talking about, where he invented this kind of coconut ice cream that he makes. Well, the first thing they do is they do a competition where they do a dessert, Marcel's. But listen as they do the second one, where Richard goes, I've been eating this since I was a kid, my first job I've ever had. And in all of the restaurants I have, it's on the menu. And I was like, oh, all of the restaurants? I just couldn't help but it sounded kind of like kind of shitty the way he said it.
But then whenever he talks, like he talks so grand about himself, but I think it's because he's such a self-defeatist.
Yeah.
Because the moment he thinks he's losing, he like immediately shifts into a woe is me mode.
Well, first he's like, well, listen to what he talks about. He goes, I'm a much better chef than I was before when I won Top Chef. But I'm working all the time. Marcel, he's living like he's used to being waited on. He's living a Playboy lifestyle or something. And then, like, later on when Marcel's doing better, he goes, Marcel's much better chef than I thought he was. And, like, he starts losing confidence. But let's listen to this first part. And I guess, do you think they tell them talk shit to each other? Kind of talk shit to each other.
Yeah, sure.
They've got to do that.
Okay. Chefs, welcome to Top Chef Duels. You're now recurring
there
judges, Gail Simmons.
Great to see you
guys. Poo.
And of course, Chef Wolfgang Puck.
Good to see you both here.
How you guys doing? Excited to be back?
Excited? Yes, but it's surreal, right?
And it's just mano a mano. I've already lost to Richard once. On Top Chef All-Stars, I don't want to do that again. So I kind of want to beat him a little bit. Yeah, I mean, like a lot of it.
I think it's going to be a tight battle.
He texted me last night, called me grandpa. So I don't know about he's already started the smack talking. Top Chef Duels, it's just head to head. I'm a better chef than I was when I won Top Chef All-Stars, but I'm grinding it out every day, son. What is Marcel doing? He's jet setting around the country, hanging out at the club, getting bottle service, stuff like that.
All right, guys, time to get down to business.
Way to judge
Each
someone.
Of you have personally created a challenge that you think you can win. And they're both worth $10,000. And the third and final challenge is the duel. The winner of the duel moves on to the finale, and they get to compete for the grand prize of $100,000.
Let's warm up this kitchen. I kind of like, I'd like to start with my challenge.
With your
I think
challenge.
It's funny,
okay.
It doesn't go to charity. It goes to the chefs.
Okay, Marcel, what's your challenge?
All right, so my challenge.
That's always my biggest complaint.
Fire and ice. This challenge is to be comprised of one super hot component and one super cold component. We're actually talking temperatures here, not flavors or tastes.
What? That's like pretty much the challenge my 5-year-old would probably come up with. Do something hot and something cold at the same time.
There's a one sort of like simple twist to this dish. It's actually not a savory challenge. It's going to be a sweet challenge.
Okay.
The idea for my challenge came from trying to think about how I could actually put in a curveball for Richard. Since we're both known for being savory chefs, I thought, like, why not do a dessert?
Well, Richard, you better get thinking. Because you've got 30 minutes to make a hot and cold dessert. Good luck, gentlemen, because your time starts now.
With my catering company, I create all my own desserts, and I'm good at it. For this challenge, I'm making coconut ice cream with microwave cashew cake and charred pineapple. I think it's nice to have a temperature contrast in most dishes. This is sort of something that I've been playing with for a long time, so I have a certain advantage.
So what's cooking, good looking?
I'll tell you when I get there, my friend. You're clever, Marcel. I was not prepared necessarily to do a dessert course. There's lots of coconut around, and coconut and pineapple just work. So I'm just going to cook pineapple in two different ways, in the wood-burning oven and sous vide with some chilies, and I'm going to make a bunch of different textures of frosty
coconut. I don't think
I
could ever be the spicy dessert guy.
Welcome to Speed Cooking 101. Freeze it.
You got like 7 minutes left, Chef.
Oh,
you want me to come over there and help you out?
Yeah, good place. That'd be great. Richard's a pretty phenomenal chef. He has such a vast, like, empire of culinary knowledge. But could Richard beat me at my own challenge? No. I don't think so.
So, in the second clip I have after the judges taste the desserts, the way they critique each dessert, you don't really know which way they're leaning until they pick it.
Yeah, they make it overtly mysterious.
Yeah, like, oh, this is so delicious. But, you know, there's this one thing I don't really like, but it's really good. And they do that. But let's know who wins the first round. But also, I just want you to hear, I mean, it may be my imagination, but it sounds kind of shitty the way Richard name drops, where he just mentions that he has all these restaurants. And by the way, did you notice Marcel said he's trying to open his first restaurant? I'm kind of surprised that he doesn't have one already.
He's taking it slow.
Yeah, he's taking his time.
Wolfgang, which dish did you prefer?
Richard.
Richard.
I thought there were more interesting flavors going on. And to me, it looked like a very happy dish.
Marcel, I think the ice cream was so silky and full of freshness, and I really, really enjoyed it. But then the microwave cake for me is a bit of a bummer. But I love that ice cream.
I love bummer cake.
So I'm giving my vote to Marcel.
Thank you, Curtis.
Gail, deciding vote. Tough job.
I'm so taken by this ice cream, Marcel. It's super dreamy. Wasn't a huge fan of the sponge cake. And there was something in the presentation that felt a little heavy-handed. And Richard, I wasn't crazy about those foams, but I really love all the textural elements in your dish and the chili, the heat, the freshness of the herbs. There was really so much in there.
Herbs.
It was impressive. I enjoyed them both. And this round...
medicinal.
I'm going to give it to Richard.
Whoa, Richard. You just beat Marcel at his own challenge.
Whoa! Marcel threw down the gauntlet, and I ran with it. $10,000 right to the bank.
Great job, guys. Both of you, seriously. That was amazing.
Had I not put that cake on
not
there,
that I
wouldn't
so
have given
restaurants.
Them something to basically knock me for. And then they could have just focused on the beautiful ice cream. I designed the challenge, and I lost.
Sucks.
Richard, $10,000 furnished by Lexus is now yours. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've already got one in the bag, and now it's time for your challenge. Let's hear it.
All right, so Marcel, I am going to challenge you to a dish that meant so much to me as a kid. And then it ended up being the dish that I cooked in the first restaurant that I ever worked in. And it's a dish that's on all of my menus in all of my restaurants. It's a classic. It's American. It's the iconic hamburger.
Ho-ho!
Nice.
Hamburger!
30 minutes to make a hamburger that's recognizable to the average person as a hamburger and a side dish in 30 minutes.
Hamburger and side dish. Got it.
Perhaps I'd consider this a fair fight.
A fair fight, but he just said that it's his favorite thing. He's cooked it all his life. He's gone on every one of his restaurant menus.
He also has a burger restaurant.
This is correct. I do have 4 locations.
So there's a lot at stake for you. What happens if I beat you at the burger challenge?
Marcel, apologize about the not up to your level of cooking challenge here.
I'm a little bit surprised by Richard's challenge. Does he think that I can't make a burger? I'm not above a burger, bro.
Nice.
I love the burger.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I'm sorry this is a little beneath you, making hamburgers. But luckily, Marcel beat him in that second round.
Soundly, I think.
And he put
although I hate blue cheese on meat...
Yeah.
Marcel's burger looked amazing. The whole brown butter thing. And
he put the fried egg on top. And
yeah.
Richard was like, oh, that's so old. Like, no one does that anymore.
Yeah,
like,
well, Richard in his, oh, I'm cooking my burger in a wood-fired oven.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, Marcel, he's making it in a skillet. That's not the way you make a burger. It's like,
how
oh.
dare he.
But I like that he won. The one thing that what's funny about shows like this, we obviously don't taste the food. We just go by what it looks like, right?
Right.
The main duel where they each have to make 3 dishes, I thought Marcel visually kicked his ass. I thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
But remember that second Richard dish was like pasta, and they were like, oh, it doesn't look like much. But they were blindfolded, and they went by smell.
Yeah.
And Marcel did this kind of cool thing with smell where it wasn't in the dish that we're eating. They could smell it, and it added to the flavor that way. And they seemed very impressed. But then, like, the very final thing was this dessert. And Marcel made this weird dragon fruit thing with all this Rice Krispies on it and all this stuff. And Richard made this, like, chocolate thing.
It's like a chocolate log.
And...
dragon fruit's disgusting.
Yeah, I hate dragon fruit.
But
at the juice. But.
At the very end, you know, Richard won it, and I felt bad for Marcel. He goes, and I lose again.
Yeah, you would think he's due for a good win.
He's just like, you would think I would get used to the losing, but I don't.
I felt bad for him. I was hoping he would win.
That seafood dish he made did look awesome.
Because then he'd be. Baby Wolverine.
Yes.
Sing. I thought it was funny that with the one dish where he had the sense, he was trying to go for like a Thai theme, and all you heard from the people was like, menthol, cigarettes, this reminds me of
Wolverine.
France. And he's just kind of standing there like, okay.
Yeah, but then when they tasted it, they thought it was delicious.
Yeah.
I really thought he beat Richard 2-1.
So did I.
In that. But in the end, Richard won. And Wolfgang said, the dessert, it wins. It beats all the other dishes. I'm voting for Richard. And it's like,
who does it like a chocolate?
And by the way, he's a big perv too, isn't he?
He's a huge perv.
Like when he's
like, he's feeling the dome and he's like, this feels like a breast.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, I won't touch you, because your husband will kill me or something. And then when he puts the blindfold, he goes, oh, it's almost like we're in the bedroom. And yeah, Curtis is like, Wolfgang, come on. Yeah.
You're very kinky and strange, Wolfgang. Like, oh, please don't be the creepy, pervy old man.
I love the women's in that. wait, who is from Austria, Jason?
He's Austrian.
Wait, what was that?
That was the dog.
That was fake.
It's real!
All right, let's talk about The Strain. Huh?
The Strain.
The Strain.
Strainy.
Very strainy. I have a clip of the autopsy scene, first of all. But I want to talk about the weird scene where sometimes it switches to other characters, like the guy who went home to his family. And I was like, oh, wow, this lady's really smart. She's figuring that I'm going to get the kids out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to take them to my sister's and I'm going to stay there too because you're scaring me. But no, she comes back.
Well, she's too concerned.
Do you know, she goes, I'm going to put the dog out. He goes, no, leave the dog inside. I'm like, oh, that dog is toast.
Yep. Yeah, he's hungry.
The dog's
already been growling at him.
It's interesting, the guy, he knows that his family is in danger because he wants to kill them, but he's thinking, no, I'm going to kill the dog as soon as he leaves.
Yeah.
It's so sad. So when she comes home, she finds the dog, and it's very sad. You know,
it's eviscerated.
Yeah, and she hears something in the shack, and I literally had a, don't open that door, bitch, moment, you know? Yeah. Like, what are you doing? So she opens it up, and her husband's there, but he chained himself up so he can't hurt her. You know, he's like right there, and he goes, run, get away from me. I want to kill you. I hear this voice. It's telling me to rip your throat out. And she's like standing there. And he goes, go away, run, get away. And she just sits there. I'm like, bitch, what the hell are you doing? Weren't you thinking that too?
Did you not just hear it?
Yeah. Oh. Instead, she decides to pray.
Yeah. Okay. It turns out she's a kook. And I have a clip here. It's so strange. She buries the dog, but then a really annoying asshole neighbor comes over. And let's just listen to this clip. But before that happens, an autopsy. They autopsy the guy they killed in the end of the last episode who attacks the girl. Remember, they go down in the basement or whatever and
back
he smashes
station.
His head. Yeah. I love how his face is smashed in, but that long tongue thing is just... That all the sound effects in this scene are pretty gross. So if you're eating, put it away for now. Let's check this out.
Jim, record video. Use my phone, but be careful. Don't get near the blood.
There's not a chance of that happening.
What happened to the worms?
I don't know. But look at this. These folds. They seem functional.
Vestibular folds. If the body temperature rose, a lot of heat would be released through there. His genitals are gone. His excreting organs have fused into a cloaca.
Don't even want to know?
Reptiles, birds, other lower animals, their urine and feces are all expelled through the same opening.
Oh, that's adorable.
It's efficient.
That's really gross.
Label that.
Label it as what?
Label that.
It's a whole new set of organs has generated to repel the stinger.
Oh, is that the technical term for it, is it? Stinger? I feel like I'm choking just looking at it.
Oh, that's not right. Oh. Gross.
Christ, where'd that smell?
Ammonia discharge, like guano.
Same as on the plane.
In Bishop's body.
That's enough.
This is disgusting. Just call it in. God damn it, just call it in.
Sure.
No, this thing just shot a 6-foot python out of its mouth. Its dick is gone, and it just squirted a shitload of shit all over the table, and you got your hands everywhere. What the hell is going on?
It's a parasitic mechanism. This is rewriting human biology.
Why? Why is it doing that?
So it can reproduce and consume its host.
Yeah, hi. Trip Taylor from next door.
Oh, wow. Hi, Trip.
A little winter gardening?
What do you want, Mr. Trip?
Okay, I'm officially fed up with this noise. Either you let the dog out so she shuts up, or, I don't know, maybe train her to behave while she's locked in the shed. This isn't rocket science. It's shameful to own
You're
a pet
an
and
asshole.
Not discipline. Oh, and speaking of filthy animals, those press people parked up front used my mimosa tree as a piss post. Thank you very much for that.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about the dog anymore.
That's what your husband said the first time your mutt tore up my yard.
What do you mean?
She entered my property without permission.
That
you
bitch.
You hit my dog?
I didn't say that. Okay, I'm calling the police. This is outrageous.
That does not sound like a dog.
I'm sorry. Please, forgive me. If you want to go in there
I was like,
and teach her a few things... I don't have the heart for it.
Well, the guy is an asshole. You're and then right. The guy's immediately like, why is he taking off his belt?
Good.
Yeah.
Teach that dog.
Oh, God.
Whoa, what are you doing?
What the hell?
Oh. Oh, my.
That's just crazy town.
I love you see the blood like spilling out under the door. I was like, what the hell did that lady just stuck him? What the hell's going on?
That's so an awful lot of wasted blood.
So she's a whack job.
Yes. She's the type that would keep something locked up and feed it. She's the early Herschel.
Yeah. That's what she's going to do. She's going to be feeding people from, like, his wife comes over. Have you seen my husband? Yeah, he's in there. Let me just open up. Ah! You know, that same thing.
He's in the butt hut.
He's just right in here in the butt hut.
Butthole.
Are there herbs
in there?
You mean the cloaca hut?
Is that what
you're...
Cloaca.
Ew. Yeah, so the show is, very entertaining.
It's gross and entertaining, yeah.
So, basically, they also hired someone to bring the internet down and sell towers or something where people can't... Basically, they don't want anybody being warned about anything, so...
Yeah.
It looks like they're going to win to me. They're, like, doing a really good job of... One thing I really liked is we got to see Abraham kill some vampires in this. Unfortunately, the little girl went in the dad, but he was like, "Shing,
slicey."
That was pretty cool. That's when I want to get down to like killing the vampires now, right?
Let's see some fighting.
Let's do some of that shit. You know, I wanted him to go. You need silver to kill them, and then we'll go, okay, let's find some silver. You know, I've got some silver. You know, I inherited it from my parents for, you know, whatever. And then they melt it down.
Lots of silver.
Yeah, really cool,
shop.
Like, montage scene of melting silver.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see. Like, I made silver buckshot for this 12-gauge. And I was like, oh, yeah. I want to see something like that, you know?
I didn't know you were so talented, Abraham.
His genitals are gone.
Yikes!
It happens.
So that's a fun show. I enjoy watching it every week, but I am ready for Creep Factor when I see it, though.
Oh, yeah. Don't eat
this
during
it. This isn't rocket science.
I just thought it was so funny that the biggest dickhead in the world comes over right then.
Just out of nowhere.
Your stupid dog, and blah, blah, blah. And just like, oh, right this way, sir. All right, I want to talk about Defiance. Or Defiance, as I like to pronounce it.
Oh, fancy pants.
What did you guys think of that? First of all, the first episode where the record girl, the DJ girl, she's obviously trying to pry them apart so she can get into Alex's world and become his princess or whatever she said.
That bitch is crazy.
She do be crazy. And we got more Arissa stuff where now they're all coming together.
Right.
Like all the people. And that weird vision with that other Rathiant guy where they were on a ship and they took over the ship. And also, I wasn't really sure about this. Maybe we knew it last season, but I forgot. But the Castathans invaded the Arathians planet and basically took it over and made it their own. So the Arathians, we already know the Castathans look down on Arathians, right?
Yeah.
But they basically enslaved them or enslaved their planet or something. They're basically assholes, right?
Yeah, they're assholes. There's no better way to say it.
Yeah. And so, the beginning of this episode, they catch that Arathian guy who's part of the Votanus Collective, because apparently the Votanus Collective have a nuclear bomb in New York, and they need to question him. And they were putting shrill bugs in his arm or something. What the hell was that? Some kind of Wrathicon shit or something.
Shockacon?
But here's a part where, what? Shockacon?
Yeah.
Alright, so here's a clip where Stama goes to speak to Daytac and talk to him about how the guy that they're questioning actually knows that you want guns and weapons from the Votanus Collective. So it's bad. Let's check this out.
Oh, it's you.
Expecting someone else?
In the wake of the bomb threat, I heard the Earth Republic was interrogating the usual suspects.
You heard right. I was questioned.
You. They came to you.
Yes.
And not me. That's disrespectful.
Put your vanity aside. We have a serious problem. They're planning to pluck every dirty secret from the head of Masuvis.
They can torture Masuvis until they are.
He's fantastic.
He'll give them nothing.
He won't have a choice. Gimo has learned that they brought in an ego extraction unit.
Well, I have nothing to hide.
I know Masuvis has been helping you supply Rafe Macaulay with weapons to use against the Earth Republic. Mercado will know, too.
They'll throw me back in reverie.
Actually, I should think they'll execute you. And Rafe. And me.
No, you had no part in this.
A nuance likely lost on the Viceroy.
Well, I will see Mercado flayed like a river otter before I allow him or anyone else to hurt you.
Well said.
That's good to hear.
Don't be complacent, Ralph. It may simply be that killing you is a pleasure I reserved for myself.
My life is in your hands.
Oh, God, shut that guy up.
What's going on? What are they doing?
Wrestling.
I know you will not fail me.
What happened?
She's not answering.
We need 3 points to get a fix. Where is she?
I wish I could tell you.
I can't waste any more time. I need to get him out.
And then what? New York gets destroyed? Kenya comes home, but Amanda goes to jail? One person's life is not worth a thousand.
What if you got the call, and it was your little girl?
That's a decision I hope I never have to make.
That's not an answer.
Can't let you do something crazy, Amanda.
You're right. I'm sorry.
No need to apologize. Come on, I got some VC in.
Oh, Nolan, I saw that coming a mile away.
I'm sorry.
What is the butt hut?
How did Nolan not see that coming? Come on!
It was too much medicinal herb.
Didn't you love in the previous episode when William Atherton was singing at the end? I just loved that.
Yeah, that was great.
It's fantastic.
They need to give him more time.
They really do, because he goes from like this menacing Earth Republic guy, and then when he's in that club, he's like different, you know?
Yeah, and I loved how he kind of talked about his admiration for the conquerors, and like, I just really enjoyed all that stuff, the kind of the backstory of who he is and what he is.
The episodes have been very good.
They have been.
And I just, the guy who had Kenya, it's almost like they're almost telling us, you know who this is, right? And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm trying to figure out who this is. And he even said he remembered Amanda from the coach or something. Remember last season, something happened when she was on the coach? I kind of vaguely remember it.
Yeah, but, vaguely.
But I think the guys got away who held it up or something. Uh-oh.
Yeah,
someone reached his ignorance limit. All right.
Well, Defiance has been really cool. Do you need to take him out, Bill, or?
No, he's just being an asshole. I just have to occupy him for a little bit.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Defiance, we'll talk more about it next time. I'm having a good time with the show. Well, we're going to learn what's going on with Arissa finally, I think.
Finally?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, seriously, we are.
They're going to drag that out till the end.
Yeah, they really
they don't know we are.
That's just crazy town.
We get little peaks as the episodes go by, like now Nolan knows that she can heal. And
I like that Nolan like grabbed her and cut her hand to watch it heal.
Yep.
And he was like, she was like, I tried to kill myself. I shot myself in the head. Well, it was more like the neck. And he goes, don't do that again.
Yeah. Stop being stupid.
Yeah. Stop being so dumb. And it was funny. You know, that girl she meets in the woods. I saw on Twitter, someone said, hey, she met up with, oh God, I'm blanking on some kind of 90s pop star. I forget who it is.
Oh no.
God, I can't remember who it is. It would have been so funny if I remembered, but I can't. But, it was William Shatner was actually live tweeting the episode.
Oh no shit. Shatner likes it.
It was kind of funny. But, guys, let's do the news, Bill. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Won't that be awesome? Ah! Oh my God! Oh, that guy's dead. He won't be listening to the news, Bill.
Oh, well, maybe the guy with the python tongue will.
Remember Alf? He's back in pod form.
Oh, no.
Oh, dude, I love it.
Alf Pogs.
Alf Pogs. All right, Bill, let's check out the news. Or, no, that's not what I say. Let's do the news! Woo-hoo!
A shitload of shit!
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, a man has been fined after pretending to be a ghost in a Portsmouth cemetery in Scotland. Anthony Stollard, 24, was seen kicking a football around with a friend in Kingston Cemetery after the pair had been drinking. He was reported to police who detained him and charged him with using threatening or abusive words or behavior likely to cause distress. Tim Connacannon... prosecuting at Portsmouth Magistrates Court said while the football was going on, they were shouting this defendant was effectively singing loudly and being disrespectful among the graves. He was throwing himself backward, waving his arms about and going, woo! I'm assuming he was pretending to be a ghost.
That's adorable.
Stollard had accepted at an earlier hearing that his behavior could have been seen to cause distress to grieving relatives and had pleaded guilty. Oh.
Wow.
He was just having a little bit of fun.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, who doesn't pretend to be a ghost in a cemetery? In the shitload of shit department, Lansing, Michigan, a crash involving a truck hauling human waste tied up traffic for hours in the Lansing area on Friday after thousands of pounds of waste spilled onto the freeway. Northbound lanes of U.S. 127 were blocked at the Tro Bridge Road exit, and traffic was being rerouted to the I-496 following the accident. The cleanup took hours, and the freeway reopening just before 11:30 in the afternoon. Or, I'm sorry, 1:30 in the afternoon. Speaking live on WWJ News Radio, reporter Francesca Amaker said the two-compartment 18-wheeler was approaching a curve just southwest of the Kalamazoo Street exit when a tire blew out, causing the waste to shift to the second compartment.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, 50,000 pounds of human excrement was blown all over the road.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine being the one that had to clean that shit up?
That is one big pile of shit.
Yeah, that's a lot. Why are they trucking it? Where is it going? Why is there that much shit in a truck?
Holy shit.
That's a lot of shit.
That is. It's a shitload of shit. Okie dokie. Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
By the way, Bill?
Don't, what?
That shit. It probably smelled horrible.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine it.
Shit. Wow. God, I think I smell it. Come on, let's go.
It really was.
Yeah. I mean, there was probably quite a large shit cloud hovering over that area.
The hut?
Yes, in the butthole hut.
Damn. Yeah.
Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Donut eating champion is a title that led to a 24-year-old Bradley Hardison's arrest. For nearly 9 months, Hardison was a man on the run. He was wanted for felony break-ins in Camden County. What finally did him in? Well, the donut eating contest at an anti-crime event packed with police. I did congratulate him, says Lieutenant Max Robeson, a deputy with the Camden County Sheriff's Office. Good for him. He can eat a lot of donuts. Good for him.
Anyone need a donut?
The competition was for the Elizabeth City Police Department's National Night Out Against Crime event. In just 2 minutes, Hardison devoured 8 glazed donuts. That's not that many.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
I could have probably done 16 in that time a long time ago.
Donuts.
Her donuts taste like
Hardison's win caught the attention of local newspaper along with attention of Lieutenant Robeson. When I came in that morning and read the article, I was pissed because it's like throwing it in our face. We've been looking for you for months. I didn't ask him if he won a trophy, but he probably did. So, yeah, he's accused of stealing $5,000 in cash from homes on the North Road Street in December. It's like he had the audacity to do something like that, knowing that he had broken into these places.
Police caught his ass.
They're a little raw. How dare he?
And what a guy's a dick.
Huge dick. A mother in South Carolina called sheriff's deputies on her son this week after finding porn playing on her living room TV.
No.
According to Spartanburg County Sheriff's Office, deputies were dispatched to a residence Tuesday afternoon after a distraught mother called 911. She stated that when she entered the residence, her 15-year-old son was in his bedroom. Her daughter turned on the TV. And porn was on.
Porn, guys.
Jesus. Man, talk about embarrassing your child.
Yeah, according to the report, the 40-year-old mom immediately turned off the TV and ushered her 2-year-old daughter out of the room before calling the police on her son.
That's pornography. Stuff like that.
Wow. Way to go, Mom! You just embarrassed me to the whole world!
Yeah, the mom, said to a deputy when he arrived that she's had several problems with her son's behavior recently. The mom requested that a report be done to document her son's behavior, and due to her daughter being exposed to porn, she's 2 years old.
Porn,
doesn't know what the hell she saw.
Playboy.
Wow. Lieutenant Kevin Bobo.
Okay. Bobo.
The sheriff's office did not make an arrest or issue a citation. I don't know of any South Carolina law that was broken, Bobo told HuffPost on Thursday.
Nobody said we were sensible people.
The teen's mother did complete a voluntary statement detailing the incident according to the police report.
Wow.
You can laugh at this and laugh at that, and we just want to make everybody happy, man.
Mom's kind of uptight, I think.
It's like the poor kid's going through puberty, and he's
to him, like, why do you feel you need to watch porn? You know, why, talk to your son. Don't call the police. Don't be that lady.
It's like, he's going to do this a lot. Just get used to it.
What?
There's kind of... drones are becoming really popular amongst hobbyists and amateur photographers. So one asshole decided to take his drone to Yosemite.
It's like one of those things that hovers around with a remote control.
Yeah, you got like remote, and there's you got the camera, you know, the higher end ones. You've got, you know, you can hook to your iPad and get real time video feeds and stuff like that.
Right, right.
Well, this asshole takes it to the park, or he takes it to Yellowstone. I guess the ban was in Yosemite recently, but Absolutely. This guy takes it to Yellowstone and decided to crash the drone into the Grand Prismatic Spring.
No.
It's the largest hot spring in the United States and third largest in the world.
He thought it would be fun?
Or? Yeah, I guess he thought it would be a kick. You know, he's getting his kicks, man.
This is my redemption here, man.
So now they're trying to determine if they can locate it and be able to remove it.
Why?
But it
won't it just melt or something?
Well, I think that's kind of dangerous to the ecosystem. It's got batteries and stuff like that in it. Yeah. So
the kid's an asshole, right?
Yeah, the guy's just an asshole. That's and a lot of people are getting kind of pissed off at these guys flying drones around that don't, you know, they don't want their pictures taken and stuff like that. So I think people just need to kind of calm down with the drone stuff.
Thank you very much for that.
Yes, and that's news for this week.
Oh, well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week.
This isn't rocket science.
Yes.
It is rocket science. We just talked about drones. Come on.
That's adorable.
All right, Bill. How would you like to do some DVDs?
Let's do some DVDs.
Let's do it! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Oh, hell, yizzle the DVD dizzles! Oh, wait, what? Gross!
His genitals are gone.
Where'd they go?
No.
They had to drop out somewhere.
A shitload of shit!
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVD videos this week?
All right. DVDs and Blu-ray for August 12th, 2014. Starting with the Disney Blu-ray release of The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad on Blu-ray.
Interesting.
Yep, wow. Two stories. The Wind in the Willows, the concise version of the story of the same name. And, of course, the Ichabod Crane Sleepy Hollow story, which I loved watching. They showed that one time in elementary school on, like, Super 8. You know, it was the short version. They could fit on one reel.
Right.
And that thing scared the living shit out of me.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good and creepy. Remember the part, the horse?
Yeah.
The horse in Ichabod. That's pretty good stuff.
I think I was in kindergarten, and I think I was just way too...
Well, yeah, the headless horseman's pretty scary, isn't he?
Yeah, that's... And I don't know whose choice it was to show that to kindergartners, but they're an asshole.
That's disrespectful.
That's also, like, basically Ichabod dies at the end, or you don't know what happens to him, but you assume he's dead.
Right. Yeah.
And, like, there you go, kids.
Yep. Hope you enjoyed that.
That was fun for everyone!
And then what?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on, we have The Avengers on Blu-ray, and this is the 1998 TV series remake with Uma Thurman and Ray Fiennes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this, but...
Damn. Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
and wasn't Sean Connery in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kids, don't do drugs.
Yeah. I just remember it was universally panned.
Yeah. Not a good movie. By any
means. Isn't it weird when films are just complete disasters like that?
It is interesting. It makes you kind of wonder where it went bad. Like, if it was always bad, and they go, well, you know, people see it anyways. But
I'm going to knock him on his ass.
Even in 1998, it was kind of an obscure property.
Yeah. I mean, I knew what it was just because my dad watched it. And it had the hot, sexy Emma Peel on it.
Yeah.
And then they had this movie, and it was like, nobody's asking for this. You know?
Yeah, I would love to know who decided to follow through on this one.
The ad wizards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paw Butt.
We can blame Paw Butt.
Yes.
We can. Next, we have the animated DC animation, whatever, Batman Assault on Arkham Blu-ray. And This is an animated film based in the Arkham video game world.
Really?
Yeah, it's set in the universe of the Arkham video game series. The story follows Batman as he must join forces with the Suicide Squad to foil a bomb plot by the Joker.
I'm totally Batman.
This is the first I'm hearing of it. I might have to rent it, you know, online to see what it's like.
This town needs an enema.
Have you read any reviews of it?
No, this is, I wasn't even aware it was coming out, but, of course you have the exclusive editions, like, the Best Buy exclusive comes with a Harley Quinn figurine, Target has the Steelbook. So, they're pushing it, I just had never heard of it.
Wow.
This is Batman.
Oh, hello Batman.
That sounds cool, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'm always up to rent the animation DC things, but they're hit or miss. They're
definitely
not always good.
You are my number one guy.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Next we have Disney's Bears.
Damn. Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
Bears.
Yeah, Bears. This is, part of that whole Disney nature thing they love doing.
Waka waka.
Yeah, I wish it was that bear. This is the bears that I despised just because of the commercials using that damn Philip Phillips song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go and bears. then they decided was it the same one they used in the goddamn Spider-Man?
Yogi Bear?
No, I swear that was a different Philip Phillips
okay.
song.
Okay, maybe it was Gone, Gone, Gone that they used in Spider-Man. But still, Philip Phillips, same thing.
Yeah.
Annoying is what it is.
Nobody
and next
said
we have
we were sensible people.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Ooh, Bedknobs and Broomsticks is finally on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Wow.
For like 3 seconds ago.
For all your Bedknob needs and wants.
I remember liking it as a kid. I don't think I've seen it at all as an adult.
No.
Yeah, it's the one with, Murder, She Wrote lady. Angela Lansbury. Yeah.
Just saying, you get loaded and watch it, be pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah, man, in the butt hut.
Is this cannabis?
It is.
It is cannabis.
Watch out, Gordo.
I'll go have my cigarette and relax a little bit, and we'll come back and then discuss this.
Yeah, that's not a
deep philosophical discussion.
I don't think that's a tobacco cigarette that he's having.
As high as a kite.
Yeah.
Next, we have fatty. The Blacklist complete first season.
Sucks.
Oh, cool.
I watched the first two episodes. I can't wait to catch up on the rest of it.
I enjoy The Blacklist. It's a fun show. It's the kind of thing where, like, you know, it's not, like, fantastic, but the best thing about it is James Spader.
You're blacklisted.
And it is incredibly violent. It's kind of shockingly violent at times, which is crazy.
If you go to Best Buy, you get a t-shirt.
It's a fun show. I'm not going to diss it in any way. I just think it's not a deep show or anything. It's just an action kind of show.
It's a 24 kind of thing.
Yeah. It's 24 kind of thing. And James Spader's awesome in it. That's the reason
I have a friend that was pushing me to watch it, and she loves it. So
Heather,
I watched the first two episodes and enjoyed James Spader. So I'll give the rest of them a go.
Absolutely.
You love rooting. He's the bad guy, but you love rooting for him. But is he the bad guy? There's worse people out there.
Yeah, there's worse than him.
Yeah.
Is he a bad guy?
He's a bad guy you love to love. You don't hate him.
You hate to love him.
Yeah.
No.
But you hate to love him.
Yeah.
You can laugh at this and laugh at that, and we just want to make everybody happy, man.
Yeah, man.
What's wrong with that, man?
Yeah.
You'd like telling me to go myself, so.
All right, next. And it's kind of appropriate for our next Blu-ray, which is Filth. British film with young Charles Xavier. Shit, I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, and speaking of filthy animals.
Yeah.
The guy from Wanted.
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy, that's it, Bill. You win! Yes. You win! A weird cat sound.
Okay. Is that a cat? I think a cat needs to go to the vet immediately.
This movie you're talking about, Filth, it looks messed up, man.
It is really messed up and quite uncomfortable at times. I watched it
like a river otter.
A little while back. It's got James McAvoy, Jamie Bell, who's been doing a lot of adult roles for young Billy Elliot.
Absolutely.
That was a long time ago.
I know, but I still see Billy Elliot in him.
Yeah.
Especially damn. In like yeah. Snowpiercer. Yeah. It's like, hey, it's little Billy Elliot.
He's got a meat cleaver. What is he doing?
What are you doing, Billy Elliot? You're supposed to dance.
Yeah, what the hell? You just want to dance.
Dance down the train. Dancing will defeat them all. Be Kevin Bacon.
That's all he wanted to do is dance.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, he loves to dance.
Really does.
That's what I just said.
All right, next we have another Brit film with Tom Hardy called Locke.
Locke?
Yes, it's the life of a construction foreman Ivan Locke unravels during a 90-minute race against time as he drives from Birmingham to London.
A shitload of shit!
So it's a driving movie?
Yes, it's a driving movie.
Sweet. So he did this before he did Mad Max?
Oh, definitely.
Sweet.
I've heard good things about this film.
The bloody front door is not locked at night.
Well, God, I think if you have blood all over the front door, nobody's going to want to knock. Jesus, that's scary.
So what has Tom Hardy been up to?
He's back in pod form.
Oh, cool.
Sweet.
Tom Hardy pogs.
if you go to Target, you actually get the special pog. So.
Slammer?
Yeah, you get the slammer. And if you pick it up at MJ Designs, you get your choice of pogs.
MJ Designs.
Elf pogs.
Yeah. I want some elf pogs.
You know, Peter Quill needed some elf pogs, not just the card.
Ho ho.
Yeah. All right, Curtis, thank you for that one. Coming up on Blu-ray,
wait, that last movie you were doing, is that any good?
I think.
Sounds good. Sounds cool.
I'm waiting for the drop from Foggy.
No problem.
All right. Mickey, Donald, and Goofy, The Three Musketeers on Blu-ray.
All right. That's decided, the rated R version, right? That's
yes, it is. This one has copious amounts of full frontal male nudity.
You're Goofy.
I like to think so. And next we have from Shout Factory, Motel Hell.
Oh, holy shit.
What do you want me to do?
That yes. movie I watched way too young. I shouldn't have watched it. And it's...
Go back and rewatch it, and it's...
Awful?
Cliff Clavin is a biker.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, is it scary? Because when you're a kid, no. It's just creepy.
Yes. But it still has a creepy... I can't remember how I saw it a few years ago.
What is the bot?
Cable.
Yeah. But it's not really scary. But
no,
when you're
I
a kid...
I kind of laughed at it now.
Yeah. So I will not be picking this up on Blu-ray, Bill. I just gotta...
Oh, you just disappointed Shout Factory.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It takes all kinds of critters to make Farmer Vincent Fritters.
That's just crazy town.
Jesus Christ.
That's right, I remember it.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, maybe Steven will pick it up and bring it over.
Yeah. No! I think the age I saw that, it'd be like showing it to Emma now. I want you to watch a movie called Motel Hell. What the hell? Where are my parents?
I was probably like 14 or 15 when I saw it.
That's like whenever my parents separated and my youngest sister and I would go over to my dad's apartment on the weekends. And he would take us to Curtis Mathis and we would pick out a couple movies. And my sister insisted on The Exorcist.
Ah!
Yeah, and I think I was like...
No.
7?
Yikes.
And I saw, like, her, you know, with the crucifix and the jam and that. And I was scared shitless for at least... Yeah, at least 4 or 5 years. Yeah, I actually hid in the closet underneath
Absolutely.
The stairs in my dad's apartment until it was over.
That's amazing.
And I would, like,
shit,
peek out
yeah.
and go, is it over yet? No.
It's real!
Yeah, I thought it was.
That's scary, man.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. Next we have Muppets Most Wanted Blu-ray, the Unnecessarily Extended Edition.
That's just crazy town.
All right, the Muppets.
I didn't see this one with Ricky Gervais and...
We saw it in the theater!
Wait wow. Here, Steve, that's good stuff!
Was it worth the trip?
It's, you know what? Yes.
That
it's
good.
It's a fun movie, and it has a joke I swear I thought of many years ago, and they... Only the Muppets could pull it off. And I was like, bravo! I'd like stand up and clap because it's like one of those visual jokes. There's a part where at the end, Miss Piggy and Kermit are supposed to get married. And they walk up and this guy goes, excuse me, I'll be your usher. Let me show you your seat. And it's Usher, the singer.
Oh, my God.
Who is the usher at their wedding? And I was like, yes, greatest joke ever.
Usher
is the usher.
Well,
and I was like, genius.
You got to give it to him there.
But it's a very silly movie. It's got that Muppet humor, you know, where it's just corny but funny, you know?
All right. I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
Next, we have a film I've never heard of, but apparently is straight to video, straight to Blu-ray, and it's Nicolas Cage in Rage.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
What is that? I've never even heard of it.
When the daughter of a reformed criminal is abducted, he reunites with his old team and exacts his own brand of justice.
Person with serious rage issues.
And listen to this cast. Nicolas Cage, Rachel Nichols, Peter Stormare, Danny Glover. What? Why have I not heard of this? Probably because it's awful.
Well, I don't know.
I vaguely remember this.
If it's got Peter Stormare in it.
Stop at pancakes, Ed.
Yeah.
They're saying it's gorgeous. It was filmed with the Red One and
the red one camera.
Yeah.
Interesting. So,
they say it looks great, it sounds great, but I'm not seeing anything about the film quality itself.
Sucks.
You know, the sites that we tend to visit for Blu-ray stuff always just all they concentrated on is, does it look good?
We don't
does
actually sound pay good? Attention to the movie. We're paying attention to rear surround, stereophonic listening and stuff.
Is it demo material? And apparently it's quite nice.
Huh.
Moving on, we have The Railway Man.
Damn.
Railway Man.
This is a film with the King's Speech dude. Colin Firth, Nicole Kidman, about Eric Lomax was one of the thousands of Allied prisoners of war forced to work on the construction of the Thai-Burma Railway during World War II. Oh, Jesus, this sounds like a hoot. So The Railway Man.
I'm a train wreck.
Now we're getting into something very interesting. For a while, Disney had, well, they still have this Disney Movie Club. You get the little pamphlet in the Blu-rays and DVDs whenever you buy them. And for a while, Tarzan and a couple other films that are releasing this Tuesday have been exclusives to the Disney Movie Club.
Just like it looks in Disney World.
Yeah, in Disney World. So now you can pick up Tarzan in the stores.
Okay.
Because everyone loves the Phil Collins music.
Disneyland.
Not everybody.
Disneyland.
Yep, that guy loves Phil Collins.
No.
And moving on. Finally, it's been asked for years on Blu-ray, The Toxic Adventure. And I said adventure because I'm an asshole. The Toxic Avenger.
Toxic Avenger. Who has asked for this?
No one.
Trauma fans.
Harry Knowles personally oversaw
the transfer,
yeah. No, I have no idea, but yeah. So there you go, Toxic Adventure.
Kids, don't do drugs.
I never even understood as a kid why the hell they made a cartoon out of this. I mean, how many kids actually saw the movie?
Let's
do a cartoon.
Probably
too many.
Yeah.
I don't remember how old I was when I saw it, but I thought it was messed up.
Yeah, I only saw bits and pieces of it. I can honestly admit that I've never seen the whole film.
What is the butt hut?
I don't know. We don't talk about the butt hut.
Oh.
And finally,
this is disgusting.
From Warner Archive, you can get Young Justice Season 1 on Blu-ray.
Thank you very much for that.
Oh,
and
okay.
This is the Young Justice League kids cartoon.
I'm not a Bubba Burger, bro.
Robin and Superboy and
I think one time didn't you say that it was kind of annoying or they were obnoxious or something?
I vaguely remember that with like Aqualad, Kid Flash, just yeah.
But
I don't remember being a particularly large fan.
The animation's gorgeous, though. It's really nice to look at.
No.
It's that Paul Dini guy, right? I have his name right?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's... I don't think he's involved with this one. If he was, it would probably be better than it is.
Alf Pogs!
Is that what he's doing? Alf
if
Pogs
it came now? With Alf Pogs, I'd buy it.
Because
I need them all.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and that's DVDs for this week.
Oh, okay.
That's
remember
it?
Alf?
When's Alf coming out on Blu-ray?
Oh, damn. Someone needs to get on that shit.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Woohoo!
You're welcome.
As high as a kite.
Thank you. Good night.
I knew it.
Here all week, try the
No, video. He's a liar.
Thank you.
entirely wrong.
All right, everyone. That was episode 299 of Uh-oh. Entertainment Landfill.
One more.
300. Holy
That'll
shit.
That'll be close to our anniversary, too, won't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. This is, unfounded. It's crazy. The 300th episode at the same time. Basically, in August of 2005, we did episode 1 and 2. And like I said before, I was like, okay, it's done. Let me just throw it at the computer. How does it get on the internet? I don't know. And eventually I did, and it was like the end of August or something. I don't know when exactly, but it was by September the first 2 episodes were available. So basically this is our anniversary. Right now is when we started Nowhere in Mulberry 2005. It's crazy.
The time is now.
Can you guys even remember 2005? That was a long
time. Not really.
Remember Alf?
I remember a helicopter crash. That's all I remember.
Yes, a helicopter crash.
I wasn't listening. I was thinking of something else.
Oh.
But anyone who's been listening to us for that long, thank you very much. And
we're sorry.
You made it through that first episode.
Just, it's like, holy shit, how have we been doing a show this long? I don't know, but we're still here, and we're still doing it, and we're still talking about the same things. And,
it never ends.
And I love it. It's great. And I'm glad you guys dig the show. And most of all, I want to say thank you to, you know, our longtime listeners, and especially the patrons at patreon.com/landfill. You can become a patron and support the show. Help keep us going from week to week. And didn't it feel odd not doing a show last Friday? It felt like
it did.
It felt like we hadn't done a show in an eternity.
Right.
But
yeah, it really did.
I can't believe for a while we were doing one show a month, but it's good to be back to the doing the show.
You had to do it to time it to 300 to our anniversary.
Yeah, just right amount of time. And I've got to think about what the hell we're going to do for the episode 300.
Fireworks.
Yeah, fireworks, sound effects.
That's too expensive. We don't have enough patrons yet for fireworks.
Yeah, so become a patron now. Help us pay for those fireworks. And this is the part in the show where I want to thank all of our patrons, like Todd from the ATL, Brian, Adam Howard from the Bay Area. We love Adam. Marvin, Michael, John Waltz, Ken Proventure, Kelly Murray, Jenny, Tom Bickmore, Cerule, Adam Sexton. Hey, Adam Sexton. What is going on with my voice?
Peter Brady time.
We love Adam Sexton. Charlie Sexton, we all know that Adam is related to. We also have Carl, Slade Bailey, Brandon, Kelly, B. Sly, Bill Lachner.
Oh, that guy's an asshole.
Bill Lachner. You know what's funny? After we talked about it on the show, when we went to the hotel, and she was like, Mr. Lachner? And I was like, oh, she just said it.
You know what? I'm glad you heard that, because at this point, I just ignore it. And just go, yeah, that's my name.
Mr. Lachner, I love it. Doesn't
and then
make
she asked me if we needed another bed because you were with me.
Yeah. I was like, no, I don't need a bed. Because
like, yeah,
we
he
can
lives
share.
Here. I'm visiting
it's a
him.
King size. Can't we both fit in the king size?
We could have. I only slept on one side of that bed.
We also would like to thank Paul Wong Pan. Nathena, Jason Pash, Hodor, Sean Uyoka, Steve Steinbach. I just lost my place. What the hell just happened? Also want to thank Tom, Aresto. Some of the people, it just doesn't say their last name anyway. Tom Aresto, Ross Ponyi, Mark Anderson, Rob Bickmore, Sam Abbott, Michael Kiley.
I haven't heard from him in a while.
Andy Sims. Yeah, Mike, where's our voicemail? Terry Farthing. Swiley. Did you see Swiley's trying to catch up, Bill?
I did. I felt bad. I was like, man, he's going to get to the last episode and go, screw those guys.
No, Swiley, we will wait. like a fine wine, it will age. But actually, I need to re-listen to the episode and then read your feedback.
Yeah, I can't remember a single thing.
I don't remember anything that happened. And I would also like to thank Jean-Francois.
Oh.
Well, that's pretty weak. And Mike Metcalf. Thank you, all of our patrons. Thank you very much for supporting the show. You guys rock. And anybody else would like to support the show, become a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. And we would appreciate it.
For the price of a cup of coffee, you could support us.
The price of a Slim Jim.
Save us from these kennels.
Yes, please help us.
Pay for our
I'm going to knock him on his ass.
Pay for a trip to Comic-Con next year.
Yeah. I mean, for as little as a dollar, you could, you know, become a patron.
It's chump change!
Yeah, that's right. Like Mr. T said, it's chump change, you know?
Mr. T pities a fool who only donates a dollar.
Yeah, I'll take a dollar. I don't care, you know?
Yeah, we're not, beggars can't be choosers.
That's right.
$1.
$1.
That's a shiny dollar.
So this week, during the before now and the 300th episode, think of that. 300 episodes since 2005. We're going to be here doing these shows. Support us. Become a patron. It'll rock.
Give us fantastic voicemails for 300.
Yes. Let's get 300 patrons.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And that's right, Steven. Everybody think of your voicemails. Come on. 300 is going to be an awesome show.
Anniversary and 300.
Yeah, we need your voicemails. Tell us what you think of the show and tell us what you think of hamburgers.
I'm not above a burger, bro.
Oh, okay. I'm not above a burger either.
But Simply Burgers is above being open on a Sunday.
That's true. And, you know, we had Simply Burgers this week, and it was simply delicious.
So you bastard!
Wow.
So I really want you guys to try Simply Burgers, as Gordon would say. Wouldn't he wouldn't call it a burger, would he?
No, he'd call it a burger.
The most amazing hamburger.
Hamburger! So
delicious. Gourmet burger.
Yeah, he has a place in Las Vegas, isn't it, called Burger, but it's B-U-R-G-R, and it's capital G-R for Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, that's clever.
That's sneaky bastard. But I like how, you know, Richard Blaze is like, actually, it's four burger restaurants. I just wanted to.
I passed through Vegas. That. I didn't get to leave.
He loses to Marcel at each one of them.
What?
That was funny that Marcel beat him at the burger thing.
What's cooking, good looking?
Well, they beat him at their own challenges against each other.
Yeah, Marcel just should have probably thought of something different for his challenge.
You never microwave a cake anyways.
But what sucks is, he has that way where you put the stuff in a cup.
Oh, I know.
And you microwave it and you can make it or something.
They just never turn out right in those competitions, though. I've seen it several times.
It was like a cashew cake, and that's just not a good idea.
The problem is it sounded like he'd made it before, and he probably made it better before, and he couldn't pull it off or something.
Not enough time.
That's such a fake laugh.
It's real!
Oh, okay. So, guys, that's our show, and we'll see you next time for 300. Woohoo! Later, Bill. Later, Steven.
Later.
Bye.
And Steven, again, thank you. I mean, Bill, not Steven. What? Thank you,
Don't
Steven,
thank me,
for being here. But thank you, Bill, for visiting. It was awesome, and I had a great time.
So did I.
It was fun going to the movies.
Emma was so bummed out. She was like, it can't have been, his trip can't be over already. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry.
I know, she was so sad that she didn't get to see me the whole time.
I know, it's sad.
I felt bad whenever I was leaving because she started getting teary. And I was like, oh no, I better bug out of here before I start crying.
Jesus, sweetheart.
No.
Yes, Graham. Okay, guys, that's our show. Bye, Bill. Bye, Steven. Before I lose my voice. Whoa, what the hell kind of bug is that? Get away from me. Ah!
I'll go have my cigarette and relax a little bit, and we'll come back and then discuss this.
That's just crazy town.
Now this is podcasting.
You can laugh at this and laugh at that, and we just want to make everybody happy, man.
And then what?
I wasn't listening. I was thinking of something else.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much for that.
You'd like telling me to go myself, so?
Now, what's even worse...
And I thought insurance salesmen were pushy.
Ho-ho.